Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Bed and you're done. Night Skin is convenient, affordable, and best of all, risk-free by dialing 1-800-488-8417. Dial 1-800-488-8417. That number again, 1-800-488-8417.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Republican reaction to President Obama's $3.5 trillion budget from House GOP leader John Boehner.
The era of big government is back, and Democrats are asking you to pay for it.
$1.75 trillion of the budget is painted deficit red.
The Obama budget would sock the rich with tax increases while providing tax cuts to the middle class. On the spending side, the president wants a $634 billion down payment on his goal of health coverage for all Americans. He'd fund it by trimming Medicare payments to doctors, hospitals, and insurers. It all adds up to tough choices.
We will, each and every one of us, have to compromise on certain things we care about, but which we simply cannot afford right now. That's a sacrifice we're going to have to make.
But as always, the budget fight will pit sacrifice against entrenched sacred cows. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
On Wall Street today, the Dow lost nearly 89 points. The NASDAQ was off about 34. CBS's Alexis Christophorus.
They tumbled on fear that Obama's overhaul of the health care system will be very costly and that it will cut Medicare payments to medical insurers.
Oil prices were up today, now $44.62 a barrel. Lots of cancer is preventable. Up to one-third of all cancers are preventable, according to an exhaustive study of cancer studies and research articles.
We like to be in control in life, and here's something that we're in control of. Whether or not we're going to get cancer can be controlled in about two-thirds of cases. Of course, not all the time. Sometimes you're just destined genetically or from other factors in the environment, for example, to get cancer.
CBS's Dr. John LaPook. Also, on the fight against cancer, in the Obama budget, there's $6 billion for the National Institutes of Health for cancer research. The chief economist at the National Association of Home Builders, David Crow, says they see some light.
We do think that prices will be low enough, mortgage rates will be good enough, bargains will be out there, and that we are nearing the end of this traumatic trough in housing.
This even though new home sales numbers went down in January, new record low annual rate. Tiger Woods is going home out of the Accenture Match Play golf tournament near Tucson. Tim Clark of South Africa outplayed him today, no bogeys, and sent the Tiger packing on his first tournament after knee surgery 8 months ago. After 150 years of telling the stories of the lives of the people of the high mountains, the Rocky Mountain News in Denver is shutting down.
Terrible tragedy for the paper, for everybody involved, and a very sad day for Denver as well.
That's the Scripps Company CEO, Rich Bain, after visiting the newsroom one last time. Tomorrow's edition is the last. Researchers in England have identified some of the oldest words in the English language. I, we, who, to, and three evidently go back 40,000 years or more. Reading University did the work. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You know, there's never been a better time to own my new Orrick XL, because now the Orrick you've always wanted has a new low price. The amazingly powerful, incredibly lightweight new Orrick XL starts at only $299. Try it risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it. Call 1-877-ORRICK-21. That's 1-877-ORRICK-21. Or visit Orrick.com to find the Orrick store closest to you.
You know, brand new cars come with big new payments. And right now, with the economy having a bad hair day, you want to keep the car you got running stronger for longer. Advance Auto Parts. They make it easy to keep your ride running right with offers like 5 quarts of Pennzoil or Quaker State conventional motor oil and a Purolator Premium Plus oil filter for $14.99. Get the oil and filter, and they'll sweeten the deal with $2 off any air or cabin air filter. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
So how much is a parrot worth? Evidently a lot. A woman swapped her children for a cockatoo and some cash in Louisiana.
Police say a 51-year-old woman from central Louisiana traded the children for a cockatoo bird and $175. Sheriff's Captain Keith Dupree says the couple who got the children apparently meant them no harm.
This couple had been trying to have kids together for the past 10 years and were unable to, so they apparently had good intentions and were taking good care of them for the couple of days that they were with them.
The woman who sold the children and the would-be adoptive parents are now all in jail. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
Want to help save the planet? Stay married. An Aussie lawmaker says divorce leads to the newly single going out to live more wasteful lifestyles, making climate change worse. Australian Senator Steve Fielding says just think, your good marriage is good for everyone on Earth. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
AutoZone. Is your car due for an oil change? Get in the zone. You know you can save money over the life of your car by changing your oil regularly. But did you also know that getting your oil at AutoZone can save you money right away? Yeah, because right now at AutoZone, you can get 5 quarts of Quaker State conventional motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $14.99. See store for restrictions and details. Save your engine from wear and tear and save money today only at AutoZone.
AutoZone. Hotels.com gives you a free night for every 10 nights you book. We're basically rewarding business travelers for doing what they already do. It's like giving you a blue ribbon for wearing a tie, a gold medal for shaving, and a lifetime achievement award for putting on pants. So, stay 10 nights in one hotel or one night in 10 different hotels, any combination, and get a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com, the smarter way to book. Join online or call 1-800-2-HOTELS.
Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. If I weren't sitting behind the microphone, I'd be next door in the therapist's office. Thanks for indulging me. I'm a man who's burdened with too many opinions, and this is the best outlet I know. In a moment, Faz Shakir will join us from the Center for American Progress. Later this hour, we'll go live to Gaza and talk to Baha Hilo. Peace activists have helped plant olive trees in Gaza and the West Bank, and recently Israeli forces ripped them right out of the ground. After we talk to Baha Hilo, Reverend John Anderson will be here with plans to replant olive trees, and I'd like to put out enough money for at least one on my behalf. Coming up next hour, Scott Dick returns. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues. Well, there's finally an announced plan for withdrawal of American forces from Iraq. Not quite what the campaign promises said, but hey, we've got something to work with now. And there's disagreement between Pelosi and others about the residual force levels. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Leon Panetta's assessment of the secret war in Pakistan and much more next hour with Scott Dick. You're welcome to join the conversation whenever you like. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. 888-573-8372. Our music of the moment from the late, great John Lee Hooker. It's called The Healer. And I play this in honor of the President of the United States. I've got my disagreements with Barack Obama, but he's following through on his campaign promise to reform health care. And even if I don't get everything I want out of the process, the fact that we're taking it on and addressing it is very important to me. Faz Shakir is the research director at the Center for American Progress, and he edits the Daily Progress Report and the updated by the minute website at thinkprogress.org. Faz, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, Peter. How are you?
We're doing okay.
Great.
And I wanted to start off with the drop of key information about the proposed Obama budget, and in particular, the carve-out for health care, because he's identified over a 10-year period more than $600 billion for health care reform. The policies and a lot of other details will have to follow for sure. But this is a strong indication that he's very serious about following through despite all the other setbacks that he's encountered as he took the Oval Office.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that the most important element of this is that this is a key down payment, and it indicates that he's serious. And all the things that you said, I think the one thing that I'd note as a cautionary measure is that it's going to take a lot more over the course of time, particularly if we want to get to universal health care. Right now, I think we've got basically the money for the first steps, and he's paying for it, which is also a nice measure that we haven't seen from the Bush years. He's found a way to pay for it, which involves raising incomes on those who are or raising taxes on those who have incomes above $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also looking at ways to pare back some waste that's currently going on in Medicare. There's a lot of good things to talk about. The one kind of thing that I'm concerned about is making sure that people understand that it's going to actually take a lot more mm-hmm. over the long haul if we want to get to universal.
Right. Well, I certainly understand that, and I'm willing to engage in some co-payments if we
right.
get close enough to a plan, Faz.
Right. Exactly. And that those are the kinds of measures that I think we'll have to, in some sense, compromise on and make sure that that we've got a plan. And for me, a lot of this discussion revolves around what are your core principles, and if one of your core principles is universal, then, of course, you need to find other places where you'll have to give a little bit, and if it means paying a little bit for universal, then yes, I think that that's the right move.
Now, Faz, we heard last week that Governor Kathleen Sebelius of Kansas is likely to be named to replace Tom Daschle as the appointee for Health and Human Services. Has that advanced at all?
No, it hasn't. They're still pondering the situation. I think there's probably some concerns on both sides about whether it's the right match and whether it's the right move for her and for the administration. But the administration is moving ahead on its own timetable. They're holding a healthcare summit this week to discuss the future and other areas where they're looking to reform healthcare, predominantly Medicare. And talking about some of the other solutions that they have on the table, including the implementation of healthcare IT, which was something that passed in the stimulus package. So there's a lot of conversations that the administration is going to just continue while it continues its search for an HHS secretary. But I think this also indicates that they've got a team that they're comfortable with currently at HHS and the White House who are moving ahead on healthcare, and that the secretary, whoever he or she may be, could just step in and be driving a car that's already moving.
Mm-hmm. Now, along with the other appointments, we heard on Wednesday that former Governor Gary Locke, Democrat of Washington State, and a salute to our listeners in Seattle who are hearing the program this evening, he has been named as the third contender for Secretary of Commerce. First it was Bill Richardson. He bowed out. He's being investigated in New Mexico. And then, of course, the failed reach across the aisle effort with Judd Gregg of New Hampshire. That's behind us now. I guess they already checked to see if Gary Locke had any tax problems, right?
That's probably the first thing they check for now, don't they, Peter?
I hope.
I think. Unfortunately, yeah, it's become a gotcha game, and that's probably the first thing that that the Republicans are certainly going to look at.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was actually the fourth person. I remember that early on they were looking at Penny Pritzker, who was a finance chairman for the Obama campaign, and they never got around to formally nominating her, but I know she was one of the first commerce secretaries on the table, and then they moved down the line. So this has been a hard position to fill, unfortunately, perhaps it indicates the inconsequentialness of the position, actually, in my view. Inconsequentialness. But, you know, there are some elements that are vital, particularly the National Oceanic Administration is in there, and also the census, which is going to be critical in the next couple of years.
Very interesting. Also on Appointment Watch, Mark Gitenstein has been appointed to a critical job in the Justice Department. And this is a post where, you know, appointees and judgeships are helped, they help shape that. And he used to work for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and it's drawing fire from a lot of liberals in the country. How do you see this one playing out, Fass?
Well, I don't know much about his record, quite honestly, Peter. I know that the Department of Justice is stacked with a lot of heavy hitters, and it's going to be a place that I think has a lot of intellectual firepower. We've talked on this on your program about some of the others in the past, and then Elaine Kagan and Neil Katyal and some of the others who we were very fond of. And I think, you know, so I don't know how he stacks up against them. He's just not somebody I know a lot about.
Okay. Well, we won't pin you down on that. He does have a history with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And I regard them as a group that we need to be very wary of.
I agree with that. They're going to be huge obstacles on almost every issue down the line on EFCA, the Employee Free Choice Act, or if it's health care, or if it's cap and trade. I mean, they are one of our the prime opponents because they've got the money and the desire to manipulate the issue.
Mm-hmm. Now, Faz, there is a gathering of conservatives in the wilderness of Washington, D.C., and it's the Conservative Political Action Conference. My radio pal Tom Hartman is there in the belly with the beasts. and has Ann Coulter made her appearance to slime John Edwards? I guess the fag thing isn't going to work after his womanizing issues.
This is true. One thing that's been put to rest. We were also in the belly of the beast, Peter. We got three of my colleagues on my staff are out there, and we've been posting some video of that on thinkprogress.org. There's been some highlights today. We got Tom Tancredo, pulled him aside and asked him what he thought of Bobby Jindal's speech the other night, and Tom Tancredo told us that he thought it was the last nail in the coffin of Jindal's presidential ambitions.
Wow.
So he's already done with Bobby Jindal and moving on. We also heard a little bit from John Bolton, who had some scaremongering and fearmongering speech against Barack Obama and said that Israel is going to be wiped away because of his administration.
Nice.
It's almost a lot of the typical things you'd expect of the far, far right that's gathering out there.
Mm-hmm. And does Bolton have a plan to personally attack North Korea?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's fading into oblivion, and I think he's trying very, very desperately to make whatever outlandish statements he can to hold on to the fleeting megaphone that he has.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's very interesting. Tom Hartman, I just caught a segment of the program earlier today, and he was talking with Jerome Corsi, the guy who wrote the Swift Boat book and helped form the Swift Boat Veterans, and then he wrote a real nasty hit book on Barack Obama that was published last summer. And it was kind of funny because Hartman and Corsi did find common ground around trade issues. So these are interesting times where even a slime ball like Jerome Corsi can see eye to eye with progressives on at least one issue.
Yeah, well, another video that we posted today I just wanted to mention real quickly is a gentleman named Cliff Kincaid. He's a right-winger. He heads this right-wing media watchdog group called Accuracy in Media. And he was given a speech introducing Mike Pence, a congressman from Indiana. And during Mr. Kincaid's speech, he brought up, you know, the trite right-wing line now that Obama's not a U.S. citizen and therefore isn't a legitimate president. So, notable about this is not that he said it, because we've heard Richard Shelby and a whole host of others offer this false line, but that the whole crowd cheered wildly. That was in our videos. You could hear the crowd going nuts, and that gives you an indication of what we're talking about at this event.
Yeah. Well, they're desperate these days looking for something to hang on to. We're going to take a break and return. Faz Shakir is with us from the Center for American Progress, where he is the Director of Research. I invite you to get their daily email newsletter, The Progress Report. Just log on to progressreport.org, give them your email address, and it'll arrive lickety-split. More straight ahead here on The Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Some members of the media just can't help but spread lies, even when confronted with the truth. Here's Fox News' Sean Hannity falsely insisting to Democratic Congressman Joe Sisdak that the president's economic recovery plan earmarks $8 billion for high-speed rail between L.A. and Las Vegas and $30 million to protect the salt harvest marsh mouse in San Francisco.
Sean, you try to name me one in the recovery bill of an earmark.
The salt harvest marsh mouse that gets $30 million. The railway from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. That is a pork project. That is
Sean, that those words are absolutely not in the bill, and you know it.
In fact, Sestak was right. The legislation does not direct funding to high-speed rail from Vegas to Southern California, nor does it direct funds to the marsh mouse habitat. That myth was reportedly spread by a Republican leadership aide who later admitted he had no evidence. For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Hi, I'm Audrey Williams.
And I'm Melvin Williams.
Check out our new show, Holy Hip Hop on the Block, every Saturday from 10 to 12 noon, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Check us out.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hi, this is Hal, and you're listening to KRXA 540. Just wanted to let you know about some of our recent schedule changes. First of all, we are playing basketball from Cal State Monterey Bay and Cal Berkeley this year. So if your favorite program is interrupted, we apologize, but you can catch all of our talk shows in full on the Internet at their regularly scheduled times at KRXA540.com. In addition, we are now playing Ed Schultz live from 10 to noon. We play the first hour of Ed 8 to 9 p.m., and we play the entire Tom Hartman show 9 to midnight, Monday through Friday, with the exception of Thursday, when we start Tom Hartman's show at 11 in the evening and run it through 2 in the morning. Thank you so much for listening to KRXA 540. And on the internet at KRXA540.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., 23 minutes after the hour. My toll-free number is available to you now, 888-5-PETER-B. As we continue with Faz Shakir, Research Director at the Center for American Progress. And Faz, a footnote here, or under the radar, as you call it, in the progress report on Thursday, John McCain kind of backpedaling on some of his remarks about Iraq as Obama does announce a fairly definitive plan for bringing American troops out of Iraq. Some, unfortunately, go into Afghanistan, but ultimately most of them will come back to these shores.
Yeah, we did a little original reporting, Peter, and we went over to John McCain's speech at the American Enterprise Institute. As you know, AEI is the home of neoconservatism, and John McCain has now delivered, found his fondness for the Afghanistan war after long neglecting it. Remember, after 9/11, he was one of the first to advocate that we should go into Iraq, and for a very long time said we need to stay in Iraq, and said we could, quote, muddle through in Afghanistan. That was his quote in 2003. And so one of my staffers went over there, and we asked him about that quote, how he now feels about the fact that he said that we could just muddle through in Afghanistan, and how he's evolved to his new position of, quote, needing to win in Afghanistan. And he said he'd been taken out of context, and we presented the video, in fact, showing that he was not taken out of context. That was his position then. But he, you know, his new position is that we need to stay, win, achieve victory, and all the kinds of amorphous language that is meaningless but is fond for right-wingers.
Did he have any definition of victory in Afghanistan?
No, he doesn't. I mean, that's the thing. As long as there's more troops pouring into the area, and ultimately, I think a lot of the definition often revolves around violence. So when you see violence go down, then there's some level of victory to be attained.
Now, on the progressive side, Faz, I'm one of those who's been agitating for accountability for members of the Bush administration for wrongdoing, some alleged, some admitted, and the effort is gathering steam. A group of almost 30 different progressive organizations announced their support for a special counsel earlier this week, and it's very interesting to see Senator Leahy, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, moving forward with a proposal. He's going to at least have hearings at Judiciary to talk about a proposal for a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And then Speaker Pelosi, in an interview with Rachel Maddow that was broadcast Wednesday night, said that, well, and this is where I'm happy to hear, she doesn't want immunity to be granted through a Truth Commission, and she wants criminal investigations and, when they're indicated, criminal prosecutions. That's music to my ears.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think we're having the right conversation, which is not whether this commission should even exist. I think there's a lot of support for the commission, thankfully. I saw Senator Sheldon Whitehouse was on the floor yesterday talking about how this is an important move. So the debate now is not over whether it should be created. I think Senator Leahy is going to introduce legislation soon, and that'll start that process. The question, the debate, is over what are the powers of this commission? What will it have the ability to do, and what will it have the ability not to do? And I think that there's a question of subpoena power. Will it have that? And I think that's an important thing, certainly, to have, because then it means that you don't get into this tricky business of who you're granting immunity to. You just simply subpoena them and then have them show up. And so I think they're working through a lot of the legislation. I think that's where hopefully all of our efforts are directed. And then, of course, the most central piece of this is what is the result of the commission's finding. So we know that it's going to be set up as a fact-finding commission. Then what will it recommend at the end of the day, and what are the enforcement mechanisms to ensure that something happens?
Well, and when this debate goes on at the Senate Judiciary Committee, I can't wait to hear Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania suggest not just a super subpoena, but a super-duper subpoena, something that simply cannot be rejected or ignored. He likes that super-duper phrase, if you remember.
I don't remember that. Remind me again the context for that?
Super-duper. I think it came out of the Alito confirmation hearings.
I see.
And I can't remember what he was super-duper about. But.
Well, he's a former prosecutor in his own right, so if he's saying super-duper, I'm all for it.
And, Faz, what is the second or third day reaction to President Obama's speech before the joint session on Tuesday night?
Well, you know, everyone thinks thankfully, is rallying around his budget proposals, and he's got a lot of goodwill built up. I think that the one thing we need to be wary of, some of the opposition that's building, both to his call for increasing taxes on the rich and in expiring the Bush tax cuts. That's something that I think you're going to see a lot of conservatives start to really galvanize around. And then, of course, around the specific budget proposals, including health care, universal health care, and also cap and trade, which are in the budget. But obviously there's a lot of well-heeled special interests who will fight it. So those are the key fights coming down the road.
And so you're going to spend the weekend reading the budget, Vance?
Well, reading parts of the budget. It's a pretty long document.
Well, you lucky guy. Crunch it down and let me know what you find in there, will you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Faz. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress, full of facts, full of information. We're going to take a break and return, and we'll go to the West Bank. I mistakenly said Gaza. We'll go to the West Bank and talk to Baha Hilo in a few minutes, and then we'll be joined by the Reverend John Anderson. Our topic, planting trees, olive trees, for peace.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. With the economy being what it is, to put it mildly, there hasn't been a whole lot of good news lately. But there is some today on a different front, in a new study about American teenagers commissioned by the Partnership for Drug-Free America.
The good news is that all forms of substance abuse, with the exception of prescription drug abuse, have been in a sustained decline. That's great, and that's important. And a large factor in that has been the role parents have played in educating their kids about the dangers.
Steve Forserb is president of the partnership. More from him after this. Larry Kenny here with an important message concerning prostate health. Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Well, don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 50, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. So what do you do? See your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body maintain prostate health. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same healthy benefits of one Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-390-3621. That's 1-800-390-3621. With Beta Prostate, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Call 1-800-390-3621 right now. 1-800-390-3621. We've come a long way since the drug scene was mostly about pot, heroin, and crack cocaine.
Over the last decade, teenage substance abuse has been in a steady decline. Every form, smoking, tobacco use, and all illegal drugs. The only exception being the abuse of prescription and over-the-counter drugs, which has not moved at all.
You knew there had to be some bad news, didn't you? There always is.
The bad news is this new behavior of prescription drug abuse, which has been identified in the data for 5 years, has not gotten any better.
In some cases, the kids find those drugs in their parents' medicine cabinet. But giving credit where credit is due...
This study showed that kids who learn a lot about the drug issue at home has gone up significantly, and that's important because we know these same kids are half as likely to use as kids who don't learn a lot at home.
I suppose I don't have to tell you how Mom and Dad get to be such big experts on the subject.
This is the most drug-experienced generation of parents in history. They went to high school in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s. So they know marijuana and cocaine and heroin and things like that, and they're comfortable talking about those. But the new trends, like methamphetamine and prescription drugs, it's clear parents are not talking specifically about these.
The Partnership for a Drug-Free America is giving parents a good talking to about that. Thank you, Steve Forserb. The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner. at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Wish you were here.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. I am opposed to military occupation. I'm opposed to the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. I'm opposed to the occupation of Iraq. And I'm opposed to the expanding American occupation or attempted occupation of Afghanistan. Today we'll talk about Israel and Palestine.
Somebody I never met, but in a way I know.
Hang up and then dial your operator.
Uh-oh. We lost our line. Nick, we need to dial that back, please. We were connected a moment ago to Baha Hilo. He is a 28-year-old Palestinian, and he's coordinator and campaigns officer of the Joint Advocacy Initiative. That's Joint Advocacy Initiative. And he is located near the West Bank village of Jab'ah. And this is near the town of Bethlehem that many people all over the world are familiar with. And he's going to tell us, in his own words, about the efforts of international peace activists, including many Americans, to plant olive trees in key areas of the West Bank. And the olive trees, I think, have many layers of meaning. But first and foremost, they are a way to eke out a living in this very arid and also occupied land. Baha Hilo is with us now. Baha, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.
It's nice to talk with you. Tell us a little bit about your own life and what conditions you live under on a daily basis, Baha.
Well, I live in Bethlehem, the little town of Bethlehem. You pretty much like heard of the place.
Sure. Yes, it shows up in the Bible.
Yeah. It's the birthplace of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And like right now, basically we live in an area that is basically circulated by a huge wall that some of you saw the pictures of, and like series of settlements that separate Bethlehem from Jerusalem in one, like on one side, and then leaving almost 100,000 Palestinians who live in Bethlehem, basically circulated inside one big community, separating them from most of the land that is around the town.
Mm-hmm.
And basically Bethlehem is is hit by series of restrictions of movement imposed by the Israeli military on the population there. Like Bethlehem has some, let's say, some 50, 51, blocks on, basically blocking the streets and separating Palestinian communities from Palestinian communities. We're talking about the city itself. We're talking about the communities living nearby Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
and all that on the daily life.
Let me just jump in, Baha. When you talk about the walls and the barricades, Give us a brief description of how that affects your daily life. Can you get to work? Can you get to the grocery store? Or do you have to submit to checkpoints and unexpected delays that could, in fact, take you all day?
Well, basically, when we are, like, there are two sides of the story here. One is that people who had to base their life on 51 kilometers square of land, which is basically inside the town, these people have designed their life to fit only this area. For people who have to travel to Jerusalem, for people who have to get out of this, like, 51-kilometer square area, they have to go through, like, surreal checkpoints. They have to, like, their movement is restricted by the Israeli military occupation and all that stuff. We're talking about, like, the communities that live also on Bethlehem, like random villages and towns around the city, that these people in their daily movement into in and out of Bethlehem, they have to face that, like, these difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about students. We're talking about people who need to go to hospital. We are talking about, like, simple Palestinians who need to be in the city to mind their daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these people are confronted with basically the procedures of the military occupation in their daily life.
And so,
you cannot really think of any part of your life as a person who either lives inside Bethlehem, inside this, let me use the word ghetto. You cannot think of the life of these people who are inside Bethlehem or leave people who live on the city of Bethlehem without thinking of the military occupation and the intervention of the military occupation in their daily life, in every single aspect of their daily life.
Mm-hmm. Now, describe how you put food on the table every evening. Do you have a job? Do you grow olives and pick them and sell the juice and sell the olives? What is your livelihood based on, Baha?
Personally, I should be grateful for the YMCA that gives me a job through which I can provide to myself and to my family. And that's like working with an organization.
Mm-hmm.
But, for instance, my father could not provide for the family for the past almost 8 years simply because he works in construction. And, like, there's no construction happening inside Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
For my brothers, most of my brothers do not work. Like, you know, so I end up having some commitment, let's say, towards my family simply because if this does not happen, then they don't have any kind of income.
Mm-hmm.
But I consider myself, like, lucky compared to so many other families who basically have no way of providing. There are, like through my work, I get to meet farmers whose daily life is dependent on farming. And these people have also difficulties.
So I'd like you to tell us about the efforts of the Keep Hope Alive team, including one from the Bay Area, to plant olive trees to try to, you know, replace those that have been uprooted during the various wars and incursions into the West Bank. And what olive trees mean as a source of livelihood and as a symbol of peace?
Well, you said it, Peter. Like, the olive tree campaign is one of the campaigns I work on. And basically, we started that almost 7 years ago when the whole attacks of Israel on the Palestinians have accelerated. We're talking about attacks on human beings as well as land. And only in the time between 2001 and 2006, Israeli military managed to uproot and destroy almost 400,000 to 450,000 olive trees.
Wow.
What olive trees mean to Palestinians is, like, it basically provides for them. And it's not only in terms of financial, like, support and providing food, but also, like, the Palestinian culture, to some extent, is linked to the olive tree. Here we have olive trees that are probably, like, 800 to 1,000 years old. And, you know, like olive trees, probably you guys in California know that olive trees survive for so long.
Yes, they do.
And basically, we use the olive tree to its to the maximum, let's say. We provide olive trees to farmers, but also we use the olive tree in a way to improve the involvement of people all around the world in improve the involvement in what's happening in here.
Mm-hmm.
So we also use the olive tree as a tool of, like, raising awareness and advocating for people, for Palestinians' rights to peace and justice in a way where people get to learn about the fields where the olive trees are planted, to get to learn about the Palestinian life under military occupation, get to learn about the procedures through which Israel gets to grab more and more land through its military occupation to the West Bank.
Mm-hmm. We're
so
talking
in the campaign, it's about keeping hope alive in the sense of keeping hope for the Palestinian farmer that his land will remain his by planting it with more olive trees, by bringing people from all around the world to sponsor planting the trees in that person's land so he can have a better chance in confronting the Israeli procedures that aim to steal his land off him.
We're talking with Baha Hilo. He is in Bethlehem on the West Bank, and I'm glad he could join us. It's late at night there, and I thank you for staying up late to talk with us, Baha. Tell us the story. Tell us the story. You're welcome. And tell us the story, if you will, briefly, of Abu Firas and the interaction and the notices that he got from the Israeli military regarding olive trees that were planted on his property that's been in his family for hundreds of years near the village of Jaba.
Yeah, basically, like, last February and the 15th, it was the last day of an olive planting program that through the olive tree campaign, we managed to implement annually. And this olive planting program, we invite people from all over the world to come and learn about what is happening, but also, like, get to plant olive trees in the holiday. And last Sunday, we visited a little community called Jaba, southwest of Bethlehem. And that place has been, like, under continuous attack from the Israeli military in order to basically confiscate land of its owners. And on Sunday, we planted, like, we managed to plant almost 450 trees in a couple of fields, including Abu Firas.
Mm-hmm.
And to our surprise, there was, like, people, personnel from the Israeli military who came to his brother, Abu Firas, claiming that he was breaking the Israeli law by planting trees on his field, which the Israeli military claimed that this is state land. So when we are talking about state land, we are talking about, like, land in the occupied territories where Israel considers it as state land for the state of Israel. So that does not make any sense at all.
And
so anyways, we proceeded, we planted trees. And while we were planting trees, the Israeli military basically could not, by any legal means, get us off the land. So they issued a military order to which mm-hmm. they declared the whole area as closed military zone.
I see.
Which means that nobody but the Israeli military is allowed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So we finished our work and we left. In the same day, the Israelis basically issued another order, which is an evacuation order that Abu Firas, who proved that his property is his property.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he received an evacuation order. The way he received it was basically he went to his land, he found a paper under a stone on his field, and basically he found out that the Israelis is telling him that he has to evacuate the land and remove the trees implanted there.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, like, nobody can tell you, like, common sense that nobody can tell you that what you are allowed or not allowed to plant on your property.
Yeah.
So he left the trees there. And a couple of days later, like on Thursday, the Israeli military came in and uprooted all the trees, loaded them in a truck, and stole them away. So basically, all the work that we've done on his field has been like is gone, basically.
Yeah.
Simply because the Israeli military decided that Abu Firas is not allowed to plant olive trees on his land.
Well, Baha, I want to thank you for your first-person account. I need to run to a break, and then the Reverend John Anderson is going to join us to talk about plans to...
Please say hello to John.
I will. He's planning to return soon with more olive trees. Somehow, I don't think this is going to deter him.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, Baha Hilo, thank you for telling us your story. I really appreciate that. From Bethlehem in the West Bank, that was Baha Hilo. We'll take a break and return with Reverend John Anderson. And if you have a question or comment, give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. Or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
There's more than one side to every issue. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights from 9 to 11, we examine issues from every angle on our show called A Different Perspective. Sometimes we have guests bring a viewpoint that isn't often heard elsewhere. Other times we'll discuss our different perspectives on the issue of the day. Either way, call in and give us your different perspective. Join us, Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart, on A Different Perspective. Thursday nights at 9, here on KRXA 540.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Joining me now to follow on our conversation with Baha Hilo from Bethlehem and the West Bank is the Reverend John Anderson, a Presbyterian and a participant in the Bay Area Keep Hope Alive team. Reverend Anderson, welcome to our program today.
Thanks, Peter. It's great to be here.
Tell me what your motivation is, besides being a man of the cloth, but what is your interest in planting olive trees in the Palestinian territories?
After visiting Palestine in 2006 and witnessing some of the human rights violations firsthand, became very active and attentive to the situation in Israel-Palestine, tried to enter a dialogue with our brothers and sisters in the Jewish community in the San Francisco Bay Area, have done so, and continue to participate as Presbyterians to look at the situation and see how we can be proactive to counter the human right violations that we see. And I was asked, because I was on the 2006 trip, to lead this trip just 10 days ago, and did so with eagerness, but also recognizing that I would be once again encountering a great deal of pain there. So we went with great compassion and joy, I guess, as we experience the tears and the gratitude of the Palestinians for what we were doing, though what we were doing was not enough. And so we continue to do more.
And what motivation would the Israelis have? We heard the first-person account of Baha Hilo, that groups allied with you planted 450 trees in one day. And a few days later, the Israelis came in, they declared this a militarized zone, kicked the owner off the land, and in broad daylight, ripped out these trees, loaded them onto trucks, and drove them away. Now, Israel maintains that it takes preemptive actions to prevent a military assault. I don't know of any weaponization of olive trees. So what is the motivation? Do fighters hide in the olive trees? What strategic interest does Israel have in ripping out these trees that are symbols of peace and a source of livelihood for this lockdown population?
First of all, what it does is it continually intimidates the farmer to plant again. The farmer's family and the word from the farmer gets around the village, and they realize that they cannot take one step forward without it being countered by a response from the military, the Israeli military. Secondly, it sends a voice of concern and confrontation to the settlers who are literally across the street from the farm, saying, "We will keep you safe."
These are the illegal Israeli settlers.
These are the illegal Israeli settlers, most of whom come from other countries, are welcome to come in. There are now 500,000 of them in the West Bank. They are welcome to come, and you all come. However, Palestinians who are born for generations there are not welcome and are forced basically in a strong, multifaceted ethnic cleansing style to leave the land.
Mm-hmm.
The other motivation is that as we were planting this field, I took a little sojourn off to the right of the field, towards and parallel to the settlement, and found the temporary end of the wall. This wall, which is called by the Israelis as a security barrier, is in fact a wall to separate Jews from Palestinians.
It's the evidence of apartheid that Jimmy Carter referred to in the title of his book.
Exactly. And what happens with the wall is it takes Palestinian land. It does not use Israeli land. It's within the green zone. It's within the Palestinian land. It is it involves a road plus a military secure zone on both sides of the fence. It has wire and a long fence, and then eventually it will become probably the concrete wall that you've seen photos of.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this is so wide, it takes a very wide swath out of the land. So it's mm-hmm. a preemptive strike to prohibit planting. It looks better if this wall goes in land that has not been planted for a number of years. And so it was for 4 or 5 years unplanted because of intimidation
mm-hmm.
alone, not because of lack of fertility.
And are you planning to go back and plant more trees?
We as an organization plan to go back on a 6-month basis, first to harvest in the fall and then again next February to plant again. My hope is not just to go again, but to gather others to go, because it's an important message to get out to others. And because we don't know. As Americans, we don't see this. So we need to get that message out.
And Americans can sponsor a tree for $20?
Absolutely.
I'd like to sponsor one.
And that would be wonderful, Peter, if you could do that. And I can give you a website if people want to know more information.
Please
do. If that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
They can go to djones1948@sbcglobal.net.
Okay, that's an email address.
That's an email address.
So people can send an inquiry there.
And find out about trees, giving trees, and also about the next olive harvesting trip come fall.
Okay, that's djones1948@sbcglobal.net.
Correct.
And just about 30 seconds remaining, are you hopeful that Secretary of State Clinton's trip to the Middle East with a pledge of $900 million in rebuilding money for the Palestinians, is that a good start?
Well, it's helpful, but unfortunately Gaza, at least the folks in the Palestinian territories, believe that Gaza was a distraction, and while Gaza was going on, more expansion of settlements and outposts occurred in the West Bank, so I'm not hopeful. All we hear is the only thing that's left is a one-state solution, and even that would be contrary to what Israel has pursued. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And I want people to email djones1948@sbcglobal.net to get more information on planting olive trees on the West Bank. The Reverend John Anderson, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
President Obama's budget plan.
Each and every one of us have to compromise on certain things we care about, but which we simply cannot afford right now.
Republicans say we can't even afford this.
The president's beginning to make President Bush look like a piker when it comes to spending.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The numbers are ugly, but President Obama says he's being honest, including for the first time the cost of war and natural disasters in the budget outline he released today. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer takes a look.
It is a federal budget buffeted by the economic crisis.
We need to be honest with ourselves about what costs are being racked up, because that's how we'll come to grips with the hard choices that lie ahead.
Hard choices and a hard battle ahead between the president and Republicans opposed to his plan that relies on higher taxes on the rich. Mr. Obama also wants to pay for health care reform by cutting Medicare payments to insurance companies and hospitals. Despite ambitious spending plans, the administration still insists it can cut the $1.75 trillion deficit in half by the year 2012. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
The opposition was quick to howl. This is House Minority Leader John Boehner.
The administration's plan, I think, is a job killer, plain and simple.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The line-by-line details of the budget won't come for another month or two, but the document sent today was enough to raise Republican hackles.
It's a spend, tax, and borrow our way into prosperity budget.
Congressman Paul Ryan's upset at tax hikes for those making over $250,000 a year and increased spending on energy independence and health care, exactly the reasons House Speaker Nancy Pelosi likes this budget.
A budget that is a statement of our national values.
The budget also sets the stage for debates on hugely complex issues, including health care reform and global warming. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Now this.
How to take the hassle out of buying carpet, and a big chunk of the cost, too. Step 1, go to the Home Depot and get the new lower price on carpet. Step 2. Get the new lower price for installation. Just $139 for unlimited rooms. Step 3. There is no step 3. Told you it was easy.
Get the new lower price of just $139 for basic carpet installation. For any size home, as many rooms as you like. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires, your brakes, your battery, your oil and filter, your fluid levels, and your belts and hoses.
Would you check us, please?
Okay, I'm on my way to the Ford dealer now for the Works Fuel Saver Pack. You'll all get checked or tested or changed or rotated or filled.
Oh, filled is good.
For just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Woohoo! I love this guy!
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 3/31/09.
After reporting a $9.6 billion fourth quarter loss, top executives of General Motors were at the Treasury Department today asking for another $16 billion to keep the company afloat. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says they came away encouraged.
A lot of analysts believe that if the car industry rebounds next year, and the forecasts are that it will, and if, in fact, GM gets union concessions, which it's looking like it will, that GM can actually make a profit next year and start repaying some of this money.
Defense Secretary Gates has changed a policy that goes back to the first President Bush. No photographs of the flag-draped caskets of war dead arriving at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware.
I have decided that the decision regarding media coverage of the dignified transfer process at Dover should be made by those most directly affected, on an individual basis, by the families of the fallen.
If it's okay with them, pictures will be allowed. Preventing cancer is better than trying to cure it. A major study by the World Cancer Research Fund finds that many cancers could be prevented with a healthy diet. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook.
The findings for some cancers were absolutely dramatic. You could lower esophageal and uterine cancer by about 70%. You can lower colon cancer by 45% and breast cancer by about 38% just by doing diet, exercise, and having an optimal weight.
The study recommends cutting down on alcohol and red meat and eating more fresh fruit and vegetables. Another casualty in the newspaper business, the Rocky Mountain News, which has served the Denver area for 150 years, will publish its final edition tomorrow. Rich Baney, president of parent firm E.W. Scripps, says the paper lost $16 million last year and they couldn't find a buyer.
This may look like a shutdown of a newspaper that many of us have seen over the years. This is nothing like what any of us have lived through before. The external economic environment is so difficult, and the effect that it's having on newspapers is dramatic.
Hundreds of employees are losing their jobs. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You know, there's never been a better time to own my new Orrick XL, because now the Orrick you've always wanted has a new low price. The amazingly powerful, incredibly lightweight new Orrick XL starts at only $299. Try it risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it. Call 1-877-ORIC-21. That's 1-877-ORIC-21. Or visit ORIC.com to find the ORIC store closest to you.
You know, brand new cars come with big new payments. And right now, with the economy having a bad hair day, you want to keep the car you got running stronger for longer. Advance Auto Parts. They make it easy to keep your ride running right with offers like 5 quarts of Pennzoil or Quaker State conventional motor oil and a Purolator Premium Plus oil filter for $14.99. Get the oil and filter and they'll sweeten the deal with $2 off any air or cabin air filter. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Those who start wars, never fight them.
It's time.
Who fight wars, they never like them.
It's way late, but it's time.
Those who write laws, they can't recite them.
It's been a long time. but it's time.
And those of us who just fight lost, we live and die them.
It's time to bring our troops home from Iraq.
They're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies. It's time.
Yeah, it's time.
It's time to go home, to take our boys and win, to take our girls and win, to take our boys.
Thank you, Michael Fronte and Spearhead, for getting us started on this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, where Scott Dick joins me every week at this time. He's my personal expert on military and veterans issues. He served in the Marine Corps and then retired from the Army at the rank of Major. Scott, welcome to the show today.
Hey, thanks, Peter, for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, and there's a lot of good news, and we can criticize some of it, and we will. But finally, President Obama has articulated the plan to get American forces out of Iraq. And on the face of it, it's okay. It's 3 months longer than he had originally pledged during the campaign, 19 months instead of 16 months. And they're actually delaying the withdrawal of the bulk of the forces until next year. So based on what we're being told right now, relatively few Americans will come home. Some will be redeployed to Afghanistan, but the bulk of the forces appear to be scheduled to come out of Iraq starting after the December elections in Iraq, which would push much of it back to next year.
Well, I think what that does for him, Peter, is it gives him some, I don't know, maneuver, operating room politically as well as militarily. We know that, as I've said many times, you can't move a brigade, much more than a brigade or so, out of Iraq. And he may have just been shown the timetable for getting the equipment out and moving it and really seeing it at 19 months, the realistic plan. How can you do this? Okay, we're done with theory. Give me a plan, and it might have come down to 19 months.
Well, I'm going to acknowledge here that I don't know everything and that I will defer to experts, both in terms of the speed of withdrawal and the conditions on the ground in Iraq. But as I look at this, I'm concerned about a couple of things, because the status of forces agreement that Bush signed just after that guy threw his shoes at him in Baghdad last December.
Bless him.
Yeah, thank you. It calls for the, you know, essentially American forces to be on base and not on patrol in the streets of Iraq starting in May of this year. So there are a number of questions that come up, and I don't offer these as accusations or suggest that Obama is, excessively waffling, because he was never, explicit. He always offered, some kind of loopholes or wiggle room for his own positions, and I understand that. But it strikes me that we could be pulling troops out once they start to be confined to base in May of this year. And so, I ask the question, why the delay? Why will the bulk of our troops not start to move until next January? And you may not know the answer to that, but it doesn't stop me from asking.
Well, yeah, and I don't really know the answer to that other than he has listened to his commanders. So that's tick mark there. That's tick mark number one for the Republicans. That's less ammunition for them to throw at him, being, he's turning Iraq over to Iran, all that. All those things that Bush and Cheney have already done, they want to be able to accuse President Barack Obama of doing. So the realistic plan of moving that many brigades, I don't know how many brigades are there, 18? Something like that?
16 to 18, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's just about one a month, and that's just about right. I moved a brigade before, Peter. I was a brigade planner.
Uh-huh.
And it takes a lot to move even one battalion when you're talking about equipment and vehicles and all their baggage and all that stuff. And at the same time they start to draw down the troops, they have an infrastructure there of AFES. That's Army Air Force Exchange Service. They're there. They got to pull those out. They have University of Maryland there. They got to pull those people out. They have contractors. And so
yeah.
Each one of those brigades pulls out, the infrastructure surrounding them will be pulled out at the same time. So we're thinking purely in military terms, but there's a big, as we've discussed before, Peter, for every combat soldier, there's about six in the administrative tell.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge number of people, civilians and contractors and those kind of people. They're going to have to get out of there at the same time because the people that have been protecting them will be gone. And they just can't move over to another base.
Right.
So given the logistics, I'd love to see it, too. It's probably the size of a New York phone book. I mean, literally. I'd love to see all the annexes and how they're going to get the equipment out and what they're going to leave for the Iraqis and what they're going to turn over and et cetera. So it's not unrealistic for me. It doesn't sound like a waffle. Now, if he would have said 24 months or 36 months, then we would know that he's playing with us.
But mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
3 months after the, you know, his original commitment of 16 months it's nothing even to talk about.
I find it acceptable.
Yeah.
I'm not going to quibble over it because, again, I recognize that I don't have access to the up-to-date intelligence of what the situation really is in Iraq, and I will defer to him. That's why we elected him.
Right.
And as long as we're moving in the right direction, I'll continue to nudge and push for the things that I believe in, but I won't question his honesty or his patriotism on this particular front. Now, one of the other factors here, Scott, is that as it becomes very clear that we are starting to withdraw troops, we have to look at defensive postures to protect those troops on their way out, because we don't know whether insurgent groups, including the remnants of al-Qaeda in Iraq, will attempt to take pot shots. We don't know if Sadr's stand down, his ceasefire of the Badr Brigade and other militant groups, militia groups, will remain on the sidelines. And so I recognize that, you know, we can make a plan, but executing it requires great care and also requires potential flexibility and changes as it does take place.
Yeah, there's so many different permutations of this withdrawal scenario, and one of them is that you take the most far-flung troops first because they pass through you guys. You know, they pass through friendlies on the supply routes that are already protected, and they move into Kuwait, and they leave from there. That's how they came in. That's how they're going to leave. They came into Kuwait. That's how they're going to go. Or you have those far-flung troops. You move troops that are seem to be, you know, in overage as far as the number needed. You move those troops, and then you have those far-flung troops move into their positions after they were vacated by the troops going back. But you can see that already has a problem because you got to lift this unit. You got to load it and lift it and unload it, and then you got to load it, lift it, and unload it again. Where if you're way out in the far flung in the Netherlands, and there are troops out there, you only have to load it once. You move it once, and you unload it once. So these are real world considerations. Do you have the right? I mean, I don't even know if they're using rail. Do you have the right truck mix? Do you have the heavy lifters to move the tanks? Do you have enough to move an entire battalion at once? You know, and then how do you secure the routes if they're coming? Because they won't drive them. If they're coming from the way far out region, what kind of security do you leave? I mean, these are ugly kinds of withdrawal elements in combat.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a combat withdrawal, which is different than you turn your withdrawal over to the logistics people, and then they, you know, they help you load your tanks and all that other stuff. And basically take off your Kevlar and put on your soft cap, and you do it that way. There'll be none of that in Iraq.
Now, let me ask you about this, Scott. We referenced the contractors, and by the way, none of the official statements so far have even referenced the large number of contractors, somewhere north of 180,000.
People, Peter, that's because they don't exist. Remember, those contractors don't exist.
Okay, now they're not all Americans. I want to acknowledge that. And not all the contracting companies are American, but most of them are. And so is there a scenario, Scott, where the troops who have been there for so long, many of them on their third and fourth tours, would actually be able to just hop on a plane at the Baghdad International Airport and come home and let the contractors drive their trucks and their gear and their tents and all that other materiel over the border into Kuwait as they make their necessary exit from Iraq?
No. And not unless you want wide-scale, wholesale, waste, fraud, and abuse, and absolute theft.
In other words, if you don't want the stuff to arrive, you could give it to the contractors to deliver.
I can tell you this, Peter. What the troops don't bring out themselves, they will never see again. It's just the way it is. They'll never see it again. So if the unit commanders who want to try to maintain some kind of combat readiness in the future, they will lobby. If there's any question whatsoever, they will lobby the chain of command up all the way to the President of the United States if they have to make sure that he understands that the equipment that they bring out is the equipment they'll see again. Other than that, it will be disappeared. And it'll leak. I mean, imagine leaking an M1 tank. But it will leak in directions that they would never expect it to leak. I mean, imagine the force that comes in from a potential enemy. Let's say Russia. Let's just create this fanatical, this hypothetical, hysterical scenario where the Russians, we use contractors to move our stuff, and the Russians come in and they pay the Iraqis and they just steal our gear wholesale. I mean, what are we going to do about it? So if you want to see this stuff again, it has to be brought up by the troops. And if I was a senator or a congressman remotely interested in military readiness, that would be like primo demand number one.
All right.
It's going to be something to watch.
We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. Your calls and comments are welcome this entire hour. Lines open for you at 888-5. Peter B., you want to talk about removing U.S. troops from Iraq and the contractors, too? I'd like to hear your thoughts. 888-573-8372. Join us in the conversation here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibration.
Tools for Transformation
is being preempted by sports programming this month.
We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the internet, so tune in. Good Vibration.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Soledad on Via Milpitas at El Camino Road, we have a two-vehicle collision. In Santa Cruz, we have a traffic collision with an ambulance responding on Highway 17 just north of Sims Road. Making our way to the Hollister-Gilbert area on the northbound 101 at Highway 156, the number 2 lane is closed due to repair. In weather, it's cloudy out, and we've got temperatures in the mid to upper 50s throughout the Tri-County area. Friday will be partly cloudy with highs in the mid-60s. Right now in Monterey, it's 52 degrees, Salinas is 57 degrees, and Santa Cruz is 59 degrees. That's your KRXA traffic and weather. Have a wonderful afternoon, everybody. The Peter B. Collins Show will be back in a moment.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're spending this hour talking military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. You're welcome to participate. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com, and I welcome your comments, especially if you're one of our weekend listeners in Portland, in Seattle, or Missoula. Well, we welcome your comments, and you can just email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Now, Scott, regarding the announced plans for bringing American forces out of Iraq, one of the real sticking points is residual forces. And to be fair and clear, President Obama and candidate Obama have always talked about bringing the combat troops home. And he's never really been explicit about when the last boot will be lifted off Iraqi soil. And it's interesting because Wednesday night, in a pretty good interview that Rachel Maddow did with the Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Pelosi seemed to depart from the announced plans of the Obama administration, particularly as it relates to residual forces. And she said she thinks, Rachel said that the word is that about 50,000 will remain after this 19-month withdrawal cycle. And Pelosi said that she doesn't think that many would be needed. She thought maybe 15,000 to 20,000. What's your sense here? And, you know, I kind of expect that we're going to have thousands of troops in Iraq 10 years from now. I hope it's not 50,000.
That's a lot of troops. That's money more than a division. That's about two divisions. 30,000 is about a division with all of its what they call ash and trash.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. Now, what mission they're going to be performing there is a whole different story, an entirely different story. Excuse me. I'm looking at that clip right now, and I just don't, you know, I think Nancy Pelosi's number 15 or 20,000 is much more sustainable. I mean, we make billion-dollar commitments to countries like South Korea by maintaining 15 or 20,000 troops, 55,000 troops at one point in South Korea. If now here's the ticket, though, Peter. If Iraq pays for those troops, then they would create, the Americans would create this big permanent base. I just uttered the phrase permanent base, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
It would have to be permanent basing paid for by the Iraqis, but we've said we weren't going to do that over and over and over again. So 50, in order to meet both of those requirements, to have a ready reaction force, a rapid reaction force, and get out of Iraq, they'd have to be put in Kuwait, which is a real windfall for Kuwait.
Now, that's one of the things that was that Pelosi was suggesting, that they don't have to be inside the border of Iraq. And this really is the over the horizon idea that John Murtha first started to put forward, what, about 3 years ago now?
Well, see, there's nothing new. Why have we kept troops in Germany, Peter, for the last 40 years?
I really don't have a clue.
It's referred to as a land-based aircraft carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason they're there. They're there to fight Cold War hotspots. I mean, partially they were there to defend NATO and American interests in Europe. But as that threat passed You know, the moment we put Pershing 2 missiles into Germany, the threat of a Soviet and Warsaw Pact attack went to zero. And then it becomes a platform to shorten the distance between places like Fort Bragg, where the 82nd Airborne is on, you know, 20, they have a battalion or a brigade on a 24-hour alert, to around the other side of the world. And so to have permanent bases in Kuwait, which we do, you know, protects the Kuwaiti kingdom, and they're nothing to be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it maintains a military, American military presence in the Middle East, which foments its own kind of problem. But it is a kind of land, I mean, aircraft carrier where we have troops permanently based on semi-alert who are there, probably short tours. The tour in Korea is 13 months. The tour in Okinawa for Marines is 13 months. They're unaccompanied. They go there. They live in pretty Spartan conditions. Then they come home.
Now, in Germany, have we ever used a rapid reaction force based in Frankfurt or Heidelberg and sent them somewhere? I can't recall one.
No, the only thing that we ever got close to that was in 1973, we denuded American stocks, combat war stocks of TIG ammunition and sent it to Israel.
Hmm.
And so that was a 24-hour logistics operation combined between the Army and the Air Force as they raided, you know, real-world Cold War tank ammunition and moved it to Israel.
But you don't need thousands of troops and their families deployed in Germany to do that. That's a warehouse.
Yeah, that's what it was. And well, you know, they wanted to keep the hammer, and it wasn't much more of a hammer, it was more like a rubber mallet of American troops mm-hmm. in Germany as a tripwire. And so having those troops in Kuwait, I mean, if Iraq implodes, nobody but Iraqis are going to be able to sort it out.
We're going to talk more with Scott Dick after the break, and we'll go to the phones at 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
No deduction for you. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. President Obama has turned out to be more conservative on some things than his critics predicted, like foreign policy. But on domestic policy, it's the apocalypse, because he plans to raise taxes, and he's going after the money where it lives, upper-income people. He's decided that people who make more than $250,000 a year have more money than people who don't. The trouble is, they don't always see it that way, especially those making, say, $260,000 a year. Home payments, college tuition, house cleaning, soccer uniforms, pretty soon it feels like minimum wage. But, of course, the real sacrifice will come from people making a lot more than the $250,000, and that raises another issue. Those are the people who finance the opera, the nonprofit hospitals, the universities, and other good deed doers. According to my arithmetic, under the president's changes in charitable deductions, the tax that the millionaire would owe after giving away $1 million would increase by $70,000. You feel their pain. Of course, then you read that story on the front page of the Wall Street Journal today about the money manager who took investments from universities and squandered over $500 million of it on things like a teddy bear that cost $80,000. And you think, well, at least if the government squanders that kind of money, they squander it on a highway. Even sod would be better. And in fact, this might bring back the idea of giving to a charity because it does good work, not because it's a tax deduction. I would also point out that millions of people seemed happy to donate an historic amount of money to a certain presidential candidate, and they weren't allowed to deduct one penny of it. Now this.
I love you!
Who are all these people, Lisa? And how do they know who you are?
Oh, I used all the money I saved on my motorcycle insurance to buy my own fame. Isn't it great? These people love me.
Why do they want to take my picture?
Oh, I told them you stole my boyfriend and took him to a movie premiere. Sorry.
Saving you money on your motorcycle insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business. Call today or visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO Motorcycle. Let's ride.
This is Dave Ross on the web at DaveRoss.com.
Summer in Santa Cruz, you just can't beat it. It's time for friends, family, fun, and food. Whether it's an afternoon barbecue or a dining room banquet, it all begins with getting the best quality food at the best prices. For nearly 70 years, Shopper's Corner Market has delivered both. Shopper's Corner is the oldest family-owned and operated independent grocery store. It's where the locals shop.
I like their meat department. That's what I buy here.
They have a good organic selection.
Things you can't find other places.
Enjoy the friendliest service and fastest checkout at Shopper's while taking advantage of the everyday low prices on USDA choice meats, fresh local seafood, and produce.
Their produce is great.
Actually, I shop around quite a few different places, but I always come back here because they have the best.
The variety of stuff you find here you don't find other places, and the service.
Shoppers has a vast assortment of cheeses and specialty foods, along with one of the best wine selections in the Monterey Bay area. Shoppers Corner, on the corner of Soquel Avenue and Brant 40 in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at shopperscorner.com.
I shop here because of the fact I live around the corner.
Shoppers Corner, it's where the locals shop.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking military veterans issues with Scott Dick. And you can join us, too. 888-5-PETER-B. Let's go to the phones here. Jerry in Santa Cruz. Jerry, welcome to the PBC show with Major Scott Dick.
Hi, Peter. I've called a few times on the phone. I'm an occasional listener. I am a conservative, but one of the things I do like when I listen to you is you've always been real consistent on your views, it seems like. So it, I may not agree with it all the time, but at least I find that you're real consistent.
Thank you.
I just wanted, I don't need to stay on the phone. I can just listen to your comment. But as you guys are talking about the troops and everything that's going on in Iraq, I just remember in the past listening to you that you were very adamant about a full removal of all troops from Iraq. And it sounded to me a moment ago like you were almost defending Obama, that he said he didn't necessarily say he'd get all the boots out. And I'd just like you to comment on that, because I think this is one area that you weren't quite as consistent.
Yeah, well, we'll
as you've been in the past.
Stay on the line here, because I'd like to go back and forth with you, and you know, you can argue with me if you want.
Okay.
What I said was is that I am accepting that he has agreed to a slightly longer timeline, 3 months. And what I also said was that during the campaign, he was never explicit about getting every American service member out of Iraq. He never gave a detailed commitment that even the most ardent peacenik or the most ardent neocon could look to and say, well, this is exactly what he's going to do. Obama was very effective, from his point of view, in the campaign cycle last year in positioning himself as anti-war, but not through and through. His balancing of getting troops out of Iraq while putting more troops into Afghanistan, in my view, was an effort to avoid being tagged like a George McGovern or a Eugene McCarthy, who, you know, at the time was characterized as simply against all war and a pacifist, got to bring the troops home, and even if we lose, all that sort of thing. So I hope that I remain consistent in your view, because the only real change that I can see in my position is that I'm accepting 19 months instead of 16 while still raising questions about why that is a good idea. So,
well, even though I don't necessarily agree with the whole pull-out in general, I can even accept when he says 19 months versus 16 months, but I would think that if I was on the side of your view, that keeping 50,000 troops there that's a pretty safe thing for Obama to say, to be vague enough about numbers and then to leave 50,000 troops like your guest there is saying. That's a lot of troops. So
I just
think it's kind of giving Obama sort of a, you know, oh well, you were close.
Okay.
It just doesn't seem quite right to me. So.
All right, Jerry. Well, I appreciate your call, and I hear your point. You know, it just as a reference point, I'd like to note that 50,000 troops is what we will be up to in Afghanistan after the new 17,000 forces arrive over the next few months. And so it is a very significant ongoing deployment. And it's something that I've been raising questions about, including about candidate Obama, for a long time now.
But, Peter, let me jump in there.
I have heard you question that about Obama, but I just don't, you know, I think to me it's, I don't want Obama put on this pedestal so much that anything he says and does just kind of, you know, it's just okay that you can kind of adjust the specifics enough to make it sound like,
right,
you know, even on the stimulus package and all of these things, you know, I hope on both the right and the left that people will hold their own leadership accountable for what they truly say.
Well, Jerry, I appreciate that, and maybe I can encourage you to listen a little more, because you would have heard me criticizing Obama for putting the additional troops into Afghanistan without a clear mission, without an exit strategy.
I did actually hear that one.
And you would probably have heard me criticize the president for adopting the same objectionable legal positions that the Bush legal team did over detention issues, over rendition issues, and over the illegal wiretapping in the United States issues.
Well, actually, that's one of the reasons that prompted my call here, is because I thought you were giving him a little extra grace this time with the troop withdrawal or pullout in Iraq. So.
All right, Jerry, thanks for keeping me honest.
You bet.
All right.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Scott.
You know, Peter, I was going to ask Jerry if he had ever called in a right-wing radio and criticized President Bush for the illegal wiretapping.
All right. Jerry, are you still there?
Well, yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Well, I would disagree with you on that.
Wait. That was illegal, or that you called in? Did you ever call in and say, you know, Bush's illegal wiretapping of Americans is wrong?
Well, I mean, I
did
hear
you call in,
say that.
Jerry,
I hear
did you ever call in and ask,
right,
Jerry,
and
did you ever
left.
Call in into any right-wing
are you,
talk
are
show?
Are you going to let me finish,
no,
or are you going to interrupt
me again? Let me ask you another question.
I've been gracious enough. Can I finish my comment? And then
no, I'm going to use the Fox Network technique here,
Scott,
to interrupt the person when I ask the question.
Scott, hold on.
Well,
don't Fox in.
I appreciate talking to you, but obviously Scott is not as gracious to talking as you are. So I'll call you back another day, and we can talk some more.
But go ahead and answer his question, Jerry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. He's already given me that he's not going to appreciate my answer anyway. So
okay,
I'll
but
call
Jerry,
you another day.
Fine, Jerry, but understand that he was using right-wing tactics on you. Well, I don't think that worked out so well, Scott. But
Peter, I
understand your approach.
I'm frankly fed up with the right-wingers calling in to progressive shows or even commenting on the fact that Obama is held to the literal word of every one of his statements. And yet these same folks never raised the issue with right-wing talk shows about President Bush. It's a double standard that's really hard for me to take.
Mm-hmm.
And we just spent all of last Thursday talking about Afghanistan, and today we're talking about the fact that what I wanted to bring up, Peter, with you is that those troops look like they're going to be out of Iraq in toto by the end of 2011. There won't be 30 to 50,000 troops in Iraq.
Now, what do you base that on?
Well, I was looking at this last article. It's coming from the AP, and you know how shoddy work they do. So I'm only going by what I'm reading. Is that the 30 to 50,000 troops in Iraq will be there to advise and train Iraqi security forces and to protect U.S. interests. But they made an agreement with Iraq to have all of our troops out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So
unless, I don't know what they're going to call them. If you have, if they've parsed words, if they've decided to call them Army military units, then we could, it's a possibility we could have 10, you know, 10,000 or 20,000 advisors mm-hmm. in Iraq.
Right.
We go back to the Vietnam model where we don't really have troops in Vietnam. We only have, you know, advisors.
Right. Yeah, I remember.
So but officially, the deal is to get our troops out of there by the end of 2011 because that's the agreement we signed with the Iraqis.
Well, I do understand that, but I don't know. First of all, Bush didn't seem real sincere about that when he agreed to it. And this is another one of those issues where I have to raise the question, will Obama adopt the bad position that Bush had before? And so we have, you know, operated as imperialist occupiers and imposed terms where we could, said yes to things, whether we're sincere about honoring them or not.
Of course.
And we really don't know if the puppet Maliki will survive as we draw down American forces. And, you know, so I do understand why Obama has been vague, but I also think that ultimately we do deserve a very clear plan. And the extent to which it emboldens opponents or adversaries there in Iraq is something that we're going to have to deal with.
The complete withdrawal, here's the quote. Complete withdrawal of American forces will take place by December 2011, the period by which the U.S. agreed with Iraq to remove all troops. I don't know how you can dance around that, that statement. Of course, it's coming from the AP, but if we signed a treaty with Iraq, we really don't have a legal leg to stand on. We could renegotiate something else in the, you know, the intervening year and a half or whatever it is.
Well, here's the New York Times. This is an article by Peter Baker and Tom Shanker, published in Thursday's paper. While most of the troops remaining after August of 2010 would be in support roles, some would still be serving in combat as they conducted counterterrorism missions. And here's a quote from Pentagon Press Secretary Jeff Morrell. I think a limited number of those that remain will conduct combat operations against terrorists assisting Iraqi security forces. That's a limited number, a very limited number. But by and large, you're talking about people who we would classify as enablers, support troops.
Wow, that's smoke right there. You know, Morrell, he was from the Bush administration. He's not a new guy they put in there. He's been working for Gates for a while.
Yeah.
That's smoke and mirrors. Combat operations in a non-combat environment against terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
That gives me that sends shivers up my spine.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to, in order to attack a terrorist, you have to know them. And if you know them, then why don't you just call the Iraqi police and have them arrested? So I don't know what they're talking about. Are they talking about large groups of more conventional units like the brigades, the McDonough al-Sadr brigade, militia? Are they? Is that the hammer, the rubber mallet they're going to use to try to keep the militias in Iraq down?
Yeah, they are maddeningly vague. And
yeah,
we also have to say that even progressive Democrats, even members of the Out of Iraq Caucus, I'm not sure it even still exists, they're not challenging their president on these issues. They're basically accepting the plan that he is laying out. And in general, we're not hearing much critical comment on this.
Well, I think because, Peter, there is a much larger political war going on. And the war is inside the United States. And it's a war we're fighting. The president's fighting on several fronts. And, you know, on the right side, it's a war of lies and smears and innuendo. And on the correct side, the progressive side, the Democratic side, it's to fix the economy and then worry about the global war on terrorism, which doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's already fighting a huge fight, a major war, World War III on the economic side. Let's just hold this and not have make him fight a two-front war. One against conservatives and another against liberals.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's what happened to the Weimar Republic. And you know the Democrats in the Weimar hated that republic as much as the Nazis did.
Mm-hmm.
And they destroyed it. They worked together. So you know we need to let the president get off the president's back, let him sort out the economy, and then deal with Iraq. Now I don't know if you heard the report, Peter, but he's getting daily update briefings from the CIA on the economic situation worldwide. Because that's where a tremendous amount of unrest is going to come from countries whose economic systems are failing. We've seen several governments fall already. The government of Iceland has fallen.
Yeah.
And because the banking system imploded, because they implemented the same conservative ideology that we have here in the United States. So there are a number of countries, and I saw an estimate that curdled my blood, and here it is. Worldwide, banks, the banking, the financial system is going to have to come up with $35 trillion to fix the global banking system.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has that kind of money.
That's right.
So
we better start printing now.
Exactly. We need to go with Mugabe's model and print those 50 billion notes as quick as we can.
All right. We'll continue with Scott Dick in a moment. Got some more callers. We'll get to you after the break, so stay there. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join in. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather. We've got a lot happening in Santa Cruz on Route 35 at Bear Creek Road. We've got a no-injury collision involving a school bus. On La Vista Drive at Sea Ridge Road, there's a traffic hazard. And on 7th Avenue at East Cliff Drive, we have another traffic hazard. Taking a look at the Hollister-Gower area, we have a two-vehicle collision on the northbound 101 just south of Highway 156. Also on the northbound 101 at Highway 156, the number 2 lane is closed for repair. And weather, it's cloudy out, and we've got temps in the mid-50s this afternoon. Right now, Monterey is 53 degrees, Salinas is 55, and Santa Cruz is 57 degrees. That's your AM540 traffic and weather. Enjoy your afternoon, and stick around for more of the Peter B. Collins Show.
I have developed a technique called tantrum yoga. Use your anger to heat your home in the wintertime. Tantrum yoga, that is where you hold your breath until God gives you what you want. Now, of course, that's how Krishna turned blue.
Will there be a blue Krishna out here?
I became an Elvis's witness. You ring the doorbell, they open up, and you say, "Are you lonesome tonight?"
That's the Swami Beyond Ananda. I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour.
PlanetCruise.org.
If you transfer your IRAs, 401ks, or any retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, and $700,000 becomes $770,000. My name is Stephen DeJohn, president of the DeJohn Advisory Team. I was on the cover of Senior Market Advisor magazine because I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your broker or banker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 866-515-6669 to receive your free video and brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup at one of our nationwide locations. Call 866-515-6669. It's a new year and it's time for change. Call 866-515-6669.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. 9 minutes in front of the hour. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And Robert in Daly City joins us here on the program. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, Major Dix, I have a question concerning Pat Tillman. There's a book Mary Tillman wrote called Boots on the Ground by Dusk. From page 200 on in that book, it clearly shows that Patrick Tillman was murdered If you listen to what General Wesley Clark, four-star general, said, he said that if Patrick Tillman was deliberately killed, the orders would have come right out of the White House, because that particular unit, the 75th, was controlled by the Black Ops General McChrystal, and it went right through Rumsfeld's office of Secretary of Defense to the White House. And everything from page 200 on clearly shows the violation of standard operating procedures, the attempted murder of the unit commander, his radio corpsman, the adolescent Afghani, and Patrick himself. When you read it and you're completely convinced, I mean, his immediate commanders were in the kill zone 24 hours before, laying out what was to happen before it happened. I mean, when you look at the whole thing, what I'm getting at is, what can we do to get justice?
That's a good question, and I don't mean good as in good. I mean good as in bizarre and strange and weird, all wrapped into one. Peter, I don't know. I've been on plenty of military operations, never in a combat operation, and I know how commanders operate in those situations under stress. I know the 75th was operating under, you know, special operations control, and Tillman was out front, and I haven't read any of that. I don't know. I wasn't there. It's a tragedy, and the way they handled it afterwards is a disgrace. And I don't know if anybody has their career handed to them, but if they didn't, they should have. And I know that it was covered up at numerous levels. And for somebody who was an Army self-described hero to have been killed by and blue on blue, what they call friendly fire, which isn't fratricide, it's a disgrace at any level without the other part.
And Robert, I have not read that book, but I'm familiar with it. And the ghostwriter for Pat Tillman's mom is a very respected journalist. Her name is Narda Zucchino, and she's an editor at the San Francisco Chronicle. She also happens to be married to Robert Scheer. And so I would consider her work credible, and I know you well enough that you're probably representing it accurately. So let me get a copy of that book and study it for myself, and
Peter,
see if we can take
Peter,
it any further.
The thing that really stole it for me was when Wesley Clark came out and said that if he was deliberately killed, because when I read that book and review everything that had to happen and how the unit commander just fought tooth and nail not to violate standard operating procedures, and then he said that if he was deliberately killed, I mean, it just, the evidence is overwhelming.
Did they present a reason why he was killed?
Well, I mean, that's speculation, perhaps. He apparently had a lot of psychological reviews because as far as taking orders, he questioned orders, apparently, and he was given up for a lot of psychological reviews. But my understanding was that he was going to support Kerry, and he was going to exercise his political rights and perhaps appear on 60 Minutes or something with those people. But
come out against the war, basically.
Yes.
So the theory is that he was killed to shut him up, to keep him from coming out of the war and supporting Kerry.
Yes, this happened April 2004.
Okay.
But that's a whole other issue.
Well, see, that goes to motive, and the motive makes the whole intent of the operation and gives it, you know, credibility. If you can't pin a motive, I mean, if you can't pin down a motive, then it makes it pretty tough to pin down the, you know, the theory.
Yeah. Well, that's a motive. I mean, allegedly there was a memo from Rumsfeld where he said Tillman is special, he needs to be watched. But a celebrity athlete with an international following, I mean, he's being used in cameo shots in Iraq with in Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
with the media, and that's all he's seeing is cameo shots. Yeah. Using him like Audie Murphy type stuff.
Robert, I got to stop there. I'm tight for time, but thank you for bringing it up, and I will investigate. Okay.
Okay. Boots on the ground by dusk.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now to Ralph in Eureka, listening on KGOE. Hello, Ralph.
Hello, Peter. Really quick, I'm a bleeding heart liberal,
mm-hmm.
just so that we know where we're coming from here.
Okay.
What I want to do is reference the New American Century document and whether or not the neocons will have won in Iraq, and that's by two things. First off, Has the American oil that happens to be under Iraqi sand been secured for us? And two, we could always leave the equipment at some forward military bases and then, you know, monthly have put training exercises in to the area to exercise that equipment. We don't have to move it all out. We could just basically move the people out.
All right, let's take the second point first. Scott, how do you respond to that?
We already have that in Kuwait. Kuwait has been a staging ground for military operations for troops, for battalions. They go in there. They have commanders in place, units on the ground. They have equipment, pre-positioned stocks, they call them, and they regularly go in and train on that equipment, check it out, dust it off, clean it up, and go out, maneuver, and then bring it back. So that's already there happening.
Okay, and Ralph, explain.
I was meaning no forward military bases in Iraq.
No, I don't think they would do that because that would violate the agreement. They don't have to when they can do it in Kuwait, and you know they are a couple hours from any kind of hotspot. When you add combat helicopters and fighter jets and all that stuff, they don't really need to be in Iraq. It's just a target and criticism for the United States occupying another country long after they said they'd get out.
Okay,
are we going to do anything with those bases that we've built? Because we've built a lot of big bases there, then.
Yeah, we're going to turn them over to the Iranians. I mean, the Iraqis.
Okay, I'm out of time, Ralph, but thank you for your comment. And I'm not sure what to make of the idea that withdrawing troops is a win for the neocons, but we'll have to leave that to another time because I've run out of time here today. Scott, thank you for your contributions. I always appreciate it.
You're welcome, Peter. Anytime.
All right, we'll talk to you again real soon.
Take care.
That's Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening to our program hour by hour, and we'll continue live on the stream for our Missoula listeners at peterbcollins.com. You can find the link right there. And wherever you are, however you're listening, I appreciate it. You can drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com, and at that same address is where you can find the link to our podcast, Share One with a Friend.
Slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Obama promises a clean sweep.
No part of my budget will be free from scrutiny or untouched by reform.
The budget outline he released today projects a deficit in the first year of $1.75 trillion. That's due to all the spending to fix the economy and a break with the Bush administration's practice of not including the cost of war and natural disasters. To fund new spending for health care and bring the deficit down over time, the wealthiest 5% of the population will pay more. CBS News correspondent Ben Tracy takes a look.
After an 8-year break under George W. Bush, high-income earners may now pay for it. The president's budget boosts tax rates for the wealthiest Americans from 35% to 39.6%. And they face yet another tax increase because they wouldn't be allowed to deduct as much of their home's mortgage interest. Currently, for every $1,000 paid in mortgage interest, high-income taxpayers can deduct $350 off their taxes. Under Mr. Obama's budget, that would drop to a $280 deduction.
Republicans say these changes would hit small business owners hard. They accuse the Democrats of bringing back the era of big government. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation says there were 252 banks in trouble at the end of 2008, as banking overall lost more than $26 billion.
There is no question that this is one of the most difficult periods we have encountered,
during the FDIC's 75 years of operation.
Chairwoman Sheila Bair says bank failures over the next 4 years are likely to cost the FDIC more than $40 billion. From the Pentagon, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports on new rules for photographing the flag-draped caskets of war dead.
This is going to alter a policy that's been in effect since 1989, which in effect banned press coverage of soldiers and Marines killed in combat being brought back to Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. The policy is going to change so that if the family of the fallen soldier is willing to have press coverage, then press coverage will be allowed.
General Motors lost nearly $10 billion in the fourth quarter. Now it's gone back to the well in Washington. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports.
GM CEO Rick Wagoner met with the government's new auto task force today, appealing for more loans.
I think they've asked for another $16 billion. It could be as much as twice that.
President Obama says the industry must be saved.
And I believe the nation that invented the automobile cannot walk away from it.
But GM is burning through $2 billion in cash every month, and its reserves are rapidly running out.
In the meetings at Treasury, the company says it found a genuine willingness to understand GM's problems. The Dow down another 88 points today to 7182. This is CBS News.
Today, cantaloupes are two for a dollar, and cereal is 1% off. Rewards card and take advantage of even better deals.
Too much at once can make it hard to hear what's really important. The same could be said about driving. When there's too much on the road, things can get a bit crowded. And since one CSX train reduces traffic congestion by carrying the load of 280 trucks, fewer things will get in the way of you having a smooth drive. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You know, there's never been a better time to own my new Orrick XL, because now the Orrick you've always wanted has a new low price. The amazingly powerful, incredibly lightweight new Orrick XL starts at only $299. Try it risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it. Call 1-877-ORRICK-21. That's 1-877-ORRICK-21. Or visit Orrick.com to find the Orrick store closest to you.
A Louisiana woman who had two young children in her care allegedly traded them away in a bizarre barter deal. WWL Radio's Dave Cohen has the story.
Police say a 51-year-old woman from central Louisiana traded the children for a cockatoo bird and $175. Sheriff's Captain Keith Dupree says the couple who got the children apparently meant them no harm.
This couple had been trying to have kids together for the past 10 years and were unable to, so they apparently had good intentions and were taking good care of them for the couple of days that they were with them.
The woman who sold the children and the would-be adoptive parents are now all in jail. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
The woman's relationship to the 5-year-old boy and 4-year-old girl isn't clear. Police say their biological father is being questioned. Their mother, believed to be somewhere in Texas, is being sought. The kids are in the custody of the state. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
How to take the hassle out of buying carpet, and a big chunk of the cost, too. Step 1, go to the Home Depot and get the new lower price on carpet. Step 2, get the new lower price for insulation, just $139 for unlimited rooms. Step 3, there is no step 3, told you it was easy.
Get the new lower price of just $139 for basic carpet installation, for any size home, as many rooms as you like. The Home Depot. You can do it, we can help. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires, your brakes, your battery, your oil and filter, your fluid levels, and your belts and hoses.
Would you check us, please?
Okay, I'm on my way to the Ford dealer now for the Works Fuel Saver package. It'll all get checked or tested or changed or rotated or filled.
Oh, filled is good.
For just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Woohoo! I love this guy!
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 3/31/09.
Love.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the third final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. This is what we call the free speech zone. I have no guests scheduled. We're taking your calls. We're getting your comments. We're allowing you to exercise your First Amendment free speech rights. And we pay for the phone call. I've got lines open, all of them right now, at 888-5-PETER-B. So get on that fancy iPhone, the BlackBerry, with all the gizmos that you don't know how to operate, and just call me and talk. It's 888-573-8372. And that's the same as 888-5-PETER-B. And if you can name the title and artist of this song, I'll give you a special prize today. I'll give you a DVD. And, I won't give you any more hints on that. But if you can name the song and the artist, we'll have some fun with that. 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. And there's plenty to talk about, including the Obama plan to get us out of Iraq. And I'd like to invite your calls, including Jerry from Santa Cruz, if you want to call back. He joined us last hour as we were talking with Scott Dick. And I do know that we have some conservative listeners. And so it's wide open, whether you're an Obama supporter or not, whether you supported the war in Iraq under Bush or not. We finally have the sketches of a plan. And I say sketches because it's a start, and I welcome it. But as you know, it raises questions about the residual forces, about why we really are going to start pulling troops out next January and not sooner, because the Status of Forces Agreement requires our troops to be on base and essentially not just roaming around in Humvees or formation or out on the streets of Iraq without an escort from the Iraqi police or military. So what is it that between May of 2009 and January of 2010 that these troops are going to do? And why can't they start redeploying, say, to Kuwait and be on standby there in case things flare up again in Iraq? Well, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. And maybe you're just relieved that finally things are moving forward, and even if the fine print and the details don't please you or aren't clear enough for you, well, you can express yourself any way you like. 888-573-8372. Now, just as we were in the break before we launched into this hour and started the free speech zone, I pulled up an email from, the Zionist Organization of America, the ZOA. And I'd like you to pay attention to this because this is an appointment by President Obama that I think is very important. And it's so important that it's drawing fire from the very strong pro-Israel lobby in this country. They are expressing shock and deep concern at the nomination of Chaz Freeman by Obama to be chairman of the National Intelligence Council. Now, if you don't know who Chaz Freeman is, I don't blame you. And if you don't know what the Intelligence Council is, well, you're not the first. The National Intelligence Council is charged with creating the NIEs. These are National Intelligence Estimates. And these are the briefing documents that are collected over time, and they're based on, you know, the total array of American intelligence reports and all the different services that we have, the different information, the data, the spy intel, the human intel, the what they call SIGINT, signals intelligence. Yeah, that's when they intercept phone calls and emails. And all of that comes together in the National Intelligence Estimate. And you may recall that the most recent NIE about Iran was blocked from release by Dick Cheney for almost 18 months because that National Intelligence Estimate reported that Iran had suspended its effort to develop nuclear weapons and that the threats that were being amplified, hyped by Cheney and the gang, well, they were based on old information. Goes back to 2003 to 2005 when the National Intelligence Estimate reports Iran suspended its effort to develop a nuclear weapon. So who is Charles Chaz Freeman? Well, he's a former U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia. During the Reagan administration, he worked in the Defense Department. He's been president of the Middle East Policy Council. And he has been nominated to chair the National Intelligence Council, the NIC. And if you want to find out more, don't take my word for it. Go to thenation.com. And go to the Dreyfus Report. That's where Robert Dreyfus, a regular contributor to our program, and a very smart guy about foreign policy, has posted an article called Chaz Freeman for NIC, Lots at Stake. And we've invited Dreyfus back on the show, but he's busy and may happen next week sometime. But I encourage you to read the article that Bob Dreyfus has posted. And in particular, I draw your attention to a quote here. It's a quote that Dreyfus took from an article that he wrote for The Nation magazine in December of 2008. And it's about Chaz Freeman. And I'm going to take a moment here to read a bit of a lengthy quote here from Freeman, captured by Dreyfus and published in this article, about Afghanistan. Because Chaz Freeman, the guy who's been tapped to write the next national intelligence estimate about Afghanistan, if he's confirmed, and if he overcomes the opposition of the Zionist lobby in this country, he has a very honest and refreshing view about Afghanistan that I share. So Freeman says, what we conveniently have been labeling the Taliban is a phenomenon that includes a lot of people simply on the Islamic right. What began as a punitive raid aimed at beheading Al-Qaeda and chastising its Afghan household staff has somehow morphed, with no real discussion or debate, into a prolonged effort to pacify Afghanistan and transform its society. Chaz Freeman continues, this moving of the goalposts gratified neoconservatives and liberal interventionists alike. Our new purpose became giving Afghanistan a centrally directed state, something it had never had. We now fight to exclude reactionary Muslims from a role in governing the new Afghanistan. Freeman suggests that this is an untenable goal, and that it's time to co-opt local authorities and enlist regional allies in search of a settlement. Freeman continues, what the insurgents do seem to agree about is that foreigners shouldn't run their country, and that the country should be run according to the principles of Islam. We need to recall the reason we went to Afghanistan in the first place. Our purpose was to deny the use of Afghan territory to terrorists with global reach. That was and is an attainable objective. It's a limited objective that can be achieved at reasonable cost. We must return to a ruthless focus on this objective. We cannot afford to pursue goals, however worthy, that contradict or undermine it. The reform of Afghan politics, society, and mores must wait. Now, this is the viewpoint that I want President Obama to hear. This is the viewpoint that I don't know. Well, I don't know that it has been included in the internal debate to date. We do know when the president talked to the Joint Chiefs of Staff shortly after his inauguration that they said, we don't know what the end game in Afghanistan looks like. Well, Chas Freeman seems to have a really good grasp on these issues. And I encourage you to pay attention to this because it's not going to be in the corporate media. It's not going to be headline on television news. But this is one of those critical appointments. Freeman worked in the Reagan administration. It's not like he's a dangerous liberal or an open progressive. He's an insider. But he exhibits critical thinking at a crucial time. And for that reason, I reject the Zionist Organization of America trying to block the nomination and confirmation of Chas Freeman to head the National Intelligence Council. You heard it here first, maybe last. All right, that's enough of a rant from the host. Coming up next, I want to take your phone calls. But first, you have to get on the line. So call me now. Call me from your car. Use your Bluetooth. Call me from the attic if that's where you are. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. The free speech zone is open on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon and we'll make the morning last. Right here on KRXA 540. What you
knowin'? I've come to... Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays from 3 to 5. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show. So please, if you tune in on Saturdays and hear basketball, you can hear me on Sundays from 3 to 5. The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Cornerstone Wellness Center on Cass Street in Monterey. Remember, if you tune in and hear basketball from 3 to 5 on Saturday, I'll be on Sunday, 3 to 5. The Sheila Show.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather. Right now in Monterey County, we have a pedestrian on the road on the northbound one at Salinas Road. And moving up to Santa Cruz, we have a no-injury traffic collision on Summit at Upper East Diante Road. We also have a traffic hazard on 7th Avenue at East Cliff Drive. Taking a look at the Hollister-Gilroy area, the number 2 lane is still closed for repairs on the northbound 101 at Highway 156. It will open up shortly. In weather, it's cloudy out, and we've got temperatures in the mid to upper 50s throughout the Tri-County area. Friday will be partly cloudy with highs in the mid-60s, and heading into the weekend, it's going to be a wet one. Well, that's your AM 540 traffic and weather. Have a great evening, and we'll be back with more Peter B. Collins.
Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. What's the matter for you? Your phone broken? Your hand broken? Nick's over there waiting to take your call. 888-573-8372-888-5-PETER-B. One item we didn't get to in our chat, our weekly visit with Scott Dick last hour, is that the Pentagon has reversed the order that was in effect all during the Bush administration, banning media photographs or videotaping of the flag-draped coffins of soldiers returning from Iraq, those who have died. And this has been a long time coming. You can't express any delight about a move like this, which is just sensible, humanitarian, and rational. But I applaud it, and I think it's a good idea. There's no reason to shield from public view the cost of our occupations in Iraq and Afghanistan and our military actions elsewhere. So I'd like to hear your comments on that and on the plan that is still in development, but key elements are now in view of Obama's expectations of our withdrawal from Iraq. Yesterday on the program, we reported that the San Francisco Chronicle, which is owned by the Hearst Corporation, has issued a dire report on their finances. They've been losing about $50 million a year with the San Francisco Chronicle, and they used to be able to afford it with the fat profits from other papers, Cosmo Magazine, Good Housekeeping, television stations around the country. But the crunch is on. And if you're listening in Seattle on AM 1090, KPTK, you know that your Post Intelligencer, also owned by the Hearst Corporation, is perhaps in its final days. Hearst has said they want to find a buyer, but there are no buyers for newspapers at a time when newspapers are declining in revenue and struggling to stay alive. And news today that Denver is losing its second newspaper, the Rocky Mountain News, which is owned by the Scripps Company, E.W. Scripps out of Cleveland. They had the paper in Cincinnati, where I grew up, the Cincinnati Post and Time Star. It was terrible. So I don't have any warm, fuzzy spot in my heart for Scripps or Scripps Howard. But I do for the people at the Rocky Mountain News. 230 editorial employees were given notice that they'll be paid through the end of April, and then it's over. Scripps announced they would try to sell the paper in early December. Only one potential buyer came forward, and all they say is that that party was unable to present a viable plan. And the paper will close 2 months short of its 150th anniversary. Well, that's sad in many respects, and it's tragic for all of us. Because as newspapers fold, so does beat journalism. And beat journalism is what fuels talk radio. If you saw all of the newspaper clippings surrounding me right now that I use to inform this program every day, you'd understand exactly what I mean. So there goes another paper. Yours could be next. 888-5 Peter B. Here's John in Winnipeg calling from Canada. Nice to hear from you, John.
Hey, thank you, Peter.
What's on your mind tonight?
I guess it'd be a little risky and sound somewhat full of myself, but you know, I think there is answers here to get us out of these wars and through a resolution of just understanding truly what the cause and effect relationship was to start these things off. By looking at it truthfully, we know that we'll be looking out for the interests of the so-called evildoers, the opposition, who oppose us. So if we look at the Iraq War, to resolve it, we have to recognize it for what it is. There's no, it's a war crime, as termed by Kofi Annan, because there's no cause. What that means is there's no reason to bomb the country if you can go anywhere you please without delay. And they had already gone through all the palaces, and they were presently looking at that time looking under the chicken coops. So you're only undermining your own argument by saying, well, we got to get in there and get the WMDs. Well, marshal all these guys as inspectors because you have free reign of the place.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the last report on March the 7th, 2003.
Yep.
Yeah. And so if we look at that and we go, look, there's been a transgression against these people's interests. Americans were conned also, knowing now as the CIA, as the officials of the CIA have come forward and the FBI also. But CIA, you know, they, and to do with the National Intelligence Estimate also, not only being undermined, not only denied, but even doctored. They doctored the National Intelligence Estimate on Iraq, denied the intelligent voices of reason in America's judicial thoughts on these important issues.
And they denied the information of key defectors who clearly stated that Saddam didn't have biological, chemical, or nuclear weapons.
Right.
John, I got to take a break here, but will you hold on? I want to hear more of your thinking, okay?
Awesome, yeah.
We'll continue with John. Take your call, too. 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Tomorrow Matters is back on air Sundays from 10 to 11 a.m.
Green Talk Radio for the Central Coast.
I'm Deborah Lindsay.
And I'm Spencer Lindsay.
Join us as we dazzle you with local solutions to environmental issues.
We'll be talking about things like climate change,
green building,
alternative energy and transportation,
water conservation,
organic farming,
and bicycles,
and a whole lot more.
Join us on KRXA 540 a.m. Sunday mornings at 10.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there. And who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Space, the final frontier. Knowing the truth, the ultimate frontier. Quantum Leap and KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Yes, the Peter B. Collins Show, available by the slice. We recommend 32 seconds in the microwave.
The day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there.
We continue in the free speech zone. I've got a line available for you if you want to dial in right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. A shout out to our weekend listeners in Portland, Seattle, and Missoula. It's great to have you with us. If you can't dial in live here as we're doing the program, drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. I'm always happy to hear from you, pro or con. peter@peterbcollins.com, humblehost@peterbcollins.com, full of it at peterb. Yeah, it'll get there. I love to hear from listeners, so let me have your feedback. And we led the hour with bumper music from The Stranglers. Nobody guessed that one. It was The Stranglers' Get a Grip. Get a Grip on Yourself is what it's called. And I've been accused of having the best bumper music in talk radio, and I'm happy to plead guilty if that's how you feel. I want to continue with John up in Winnipeg. John, I appreciate your call today. And I wanted to respond to you because you have a very critical point. There is no justification for the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq. It was flatly illegal and immoral. And the United States used the United Nations as an institution of convenience.
Right.
And when it suited us to say, well, put the inspectors in there, we permitted that to happen, and we appeared to support the UN. But when Bush had had enough and was impatient, he basically forced the inspectors to leave by threatening to bomb the country. And he rewrote history to claim that the inspectors had completed their work or wouldn't complete their work. He's told a couple of different stories.
Repeatedly that Saddam wouldn't let the inspectors in, not once, not twice, just repeatedly. He'd throw it right in our face.
Yeah.
You know, some people consider it like spiritual warfare, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
You know, like I say, you know, know, the camaraderie that Marines have for each other, and soldiers, you know, united for a cause from any country, but particularly the Marines, they'll say, you know, I'll do anything for my brother. I'll put my life on the line. I don't know what the reason is for this war, but I'm going to just defend my brother no matter what. And that's a and that's all they express, and they're trying to be honorable. So it's we grant them that. But there, if they knew that there's no reason for any of these soldiers to have died, you've only undermined your own argument from the get-go by bombing the country needlessly. There's no reason. So the solution is to recognize you've destroyed their country, then charge them to rebuild it and stole most of that cash also, including the Iraq Development Fund. Like, all this money has to be returned, stolen by Paul Bremer at the time. Or he, you know, they're going to take charge of all their financing.
Yeah, there's only $8 billion missing.
So the answer is, we look at that, we go, that's part of what this is. Now, how are we going to save these soldiers' lives? We go, you know, there has to be a recognition that a mistake was made. Soldiers have died also, along with all these people. And altogether, we go, well, look, we're changing things. We're going to recognize that a wrong has been committed. All these people are victims who need to be compensated as best we can, together, united.
Mm-hmm.
And no more craziness without thinking things through. But we know we were denied this knowledge. We knew it, but we just couldn't. It wasn't expressed politically by those holding our power or our chains. And the television wasn't taking much of our calls either. There was, yeah. And there's some great guys, especially yourself. But I mean, too far and few.
Well,
we should be granted access to discuss these important issues that have always been important since day one.
Well, I'm not going to take credit here, because really it was a courageous man named Scott Ritter, who I talked to.
Oh yeah.
Who explained very clearly that if Saddam had stockpiles of bioweapons, as Bush and Cheney and their cohorts were suggesting, and beyond that, they were asserting, that they didn't have any shelf life. They were no longer valuable chemical or biological weapons. And once I learned that, I was convinced that we were being lied to, and the Democrats who stood up and voted to support Bush and empower him to invade Iraq either should have known better or did know better. And so, yeah, I mean, the whole premise was faulty and false,
right,
and fabricated.
And especially, like, they keep challenging, well, he's got to prove it. Well, they should have looked for intelligent people, and it's not it's not the easiest thing to understand, but people should have been challenged on that, because they kept using it as a weapon to say, well, prove it. Well, how can you prove something that doesn't exist? Like, they had records of anthrax, for example, being destroyed, burnt to less than ash. You know, and this was documents of 10,000 pages that was submitted to Germany, well, submitted to the UN. Then the Bush administration stole that from the UN, so nobody can look at it, but Saddam had made an additional copy, given it to Germany, and they made it, some of it, public. But these people are, you know, they just want to kill us because we have a failure to communicate for just cause. If you look at, you know, I would find some disagreement with that letter you wrote on the reality of what we're facing in Afghanistan. Similarly, we just have to face the fact that the Taliban asked for evidence that wasn't forthcoming. And according to the FBI and Senator Daschle, Mr. Bush and Cheney immediately worked to close all outstanding police investigations on the matter. They're closing the investigations immediately. Well, it's minimally obstruction, but which is something they need to go to court about. But they're also assisting in mass murder. They don't want to get the actual bad guys. They're closing investigations, and all the Taliban asked for was evidence. So that's, again, the reality of the so-called demonized peoples over there. That's what their position was.
All right, John, I appreciate your call today. I got to run.
We'd solve it immediately.
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call, Peter.
You bet. Good to hear from you from Winnipeg today. I really appreciate you checking in.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Most people go to the airport bathroom to relieve themselves before their next flight. But not you. No. You're looking to become a member of the Ground Level Club.
Not what they mean by a layover.
You, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, voted against gay marriage. That's because you want to have as many partners as you can, in as many cans as you can.
A romantic toilet rendezvous.
Come on, sir. You are gay, aren't you?
That's not what I said on C-SPAN. No.
So Until the next time you're in the airport laboratory stall and see a polished wingtip tap, tap, tapping to make your acquaintance, run away, or you might be the belle of the bathroom ball with Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, a real American hero.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Trash.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our report today from R.J. Shulman at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch is brought to you in part by a closeted conservative congressman. And the lead story at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch leads us in that direction. R.J., welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, Peter B. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So a new study is out that under the Obama regime, homosexual recruitment is up sharply. Now, is this military recruitment or is this recruiting people to become homosexual?
It's the latter.
I see.
They've done the study, and there's just a lot of people turning gay, a lot of pressure on straight people to turn gay, according to their study.
And the number of people openly claiming to be gay is up 69% from a year ago?
Yes, it's astounding figures, according to this study by the Prixton Institute of Tool, Utah.
Say that again?
It's the Prixton Institute. It's a very conservative think tank here in Utah.
It's in Tool, Utah?
That's right.
Okay.
Just outside Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I've never been there. And you even got a quote from Mr. Toe-Tappin' Bathroom Senator Larry Craig.
Yes. He says, quote, "Those shameless gays are tapping into our deepest, darkest desires, and they keep tapping until we can't control ourselves."
Wow. And then you get a quote from Carl Folger, a judge on the Third Circuit appointed by Bush. He says, "I can't believe how they turned great straight actors gay, like what they did to Sean Penn in Milk. But nothing is as shameless as a hung dog millionaire, which I've had to watch dozens of times to make sure I know the giant size of the filth that we're going to be hit with." Is that some porn flick that I don't know about?
Yeah, it's a new porn flick. Every time there's a popular movie, they come out with something that sounds like that movie and just turn it into a porn movie.
Uh-huh. Very interesting. And you have another quote from a South Carolina state senator here, Wayne Proctor. "These hateful homosexuals want special rights that we straights don't have. They want happiness after marriage." If we don't act fast enough to stop these... What is that, fago-fascist?
Fago-fascist, that's the term that Rush Limbaugh is calling them now.
Holy cow, it's a whole new addition to the lexicon, a fago-fascist. What's the definition of a fago-fascist?
I don't know. I don't know what the definition of an Islamo-fascist is yet, so I'm way behind the times here, but that's his new term.
Wow. RJ, you always bring us the news we can't get anywhere else. All right, now the next story here. GOP may be an endangered species. Do you know the conservatives have their political action conference underway in Washington this week?
Right.
They're trying to figure out what the future holds for them, and they have these ugly choices of Bobby Jindal or Sarah Palin, and both of them have demon extraction in their backgrounds, this kind of, faith-based devil, I don't know what you call it. It's not devil worship, it's devil rejection.
Yeah, it's just amazing, how in trouble the Republicans are. There's just nobody's buying their act anymore.
Yeah, and you think they're actually potentially an endangered species? Because this could be delicious. They're against the Endangered Species Act, so since they're endangered, maybe we can just let them go extinct.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Wow. Very interesting. Well, RJ, I want people to read your work. It's on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com. PTSD for Post Time Sun Dispatch, number1.blogspot.com. And before you go, we've been concerned about newspapers going out of business. The Rocky Mountain News announced that they're shuttering their doors on Friday. The Seattle Post Intelligencer is threatened with being shut down. The San Francisco Chronicle now is in deep doo-doo. The Hearst Corporation threatening to shut it down. Tell me how things are at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. You going to be able to continue?
Well, we have zero budget and zero revenue, so we have a great balance sheet.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Keep up the good work.
All right, Peter B. Talk to you soon.
That's R.J. Shulman, Post-Times Sun-Dispatch, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Up next, John in Carmel Valley. Welcome, John. You're on the air.
You know, this whole subject of ripping out olive trees, you probably knew I just have to comment on that. And yet, I'm not so sure I should just charge in and denounce it across the board. I think it's self-evident how crazy it is. What's less evident, and I want to ask you and maybe the audience listeners, there's a strategy. This is clearly an order. These are things that the Israeli government has told its soldiers to go do. What do you suppose, Peter, the strategy is? What do they think they're gaining by this?
Well, I asked Reverend Anderson about that when he was here earlier today, and the best he can come up with is that it's a tactic of intimidation. And I don't understand it either. I kind of tongue-in-cheek stated that I don't know of any weaponized olives or olive trees. I don't think that they provide enough cover, you know, like a hedge or something, to be a place where a sniper can operate. And so I don't see that there's any military issue represented by these olive trees that have been planted by international peace groups. Is Israel rejecting the symbolism, or are they attempting to deny Palestinians one of the few ways that they can eke out a living by growing olive trees and harvesting the olives and the olive oil?
Well, given the craziness of it, it's almost as if they decided they can win by the opposite of winning hearts and minds. In other words, we'll never try anything positive with the Palestinians. We'll just, the only way to handle them is to, stick it to them. And I couldn't, if I sat down, I couldn't think of a more gross way to get people to feel against you than to do that. I mean, the whole thing is just mind-boggling. And if I had three or four lifetimes left to try to ponder this thing, I don't think I could see any logic in it. It's like a nation that simply bought into illogic and then denying, because they almost are better at denying than they are at doing these things, that they're doing it at all. It's just, it just boggles my mind.
John, the best I can come up with is that this is part of the evils of occupation. And Israel, in a self-righteous manner, justifies its subjugation of the Palestinian people. And I'm not saying that there is no basis whatsoever for Israel's posture, but I will say that I consider it extreme, and that if peace is the ultimate goal, this is certainly not the way to achieve it or to get there. But I do think that you have to look at the excesses or the evils of our occupation of Iraq and some of the ugly incidents and murders, killings that our forces are responsible for. And so I'm not trying to let anybody off the hook, but as I strain, along with you, John, as I struggle to come up with some rational explanation, the best I can really summon is that this is what happens when you are an occupying force and you take it to the very extreme.
One last question, if I could.
Sure.
Do you think, is Netanyahu now the prime minister?
No.
He's still waiting to be, right?
Yes, he is still attempting to form a government. He has been, he has been tapped instead of Zippy Livni, even though Livni got one more seat in the parliamentary election. She doesn't have the ability to form a government, and so Netanyahu apparently is expected to forge a government out of his conservative party and even more right-wing parties, the splinter parties there in Israel. And he has about five more weeks to pull that together before they would dissolve and go to a new round of elections.
Well, Olmert, who I heard described in one discussion as the most liberal of all those who might have been governing Israel in both the Lebanon and Gaza wars, if he's a liberal and he sanctioned what he sanctioned, should we be shuddering even more with somebody who's a declared conservative about to take over what might be ahead in these kinds of engagements? I don't know what to think, because on the one hand, a part of me says, well, Omer is one of those liberals who's trying to prove how conservative he can be. And
well,
there's plenty of those around.
I think the terms fail us, John, because Olmert is, you know, a leader of the Kadima Party, which was formed by Ariel Sharon. And I don't think liberal is an appropriate term. He is less extreme than some of the far people, the people to his right, his far right counterparts. But I don't think you can really say there is a liberal in the American sense on the political scene actively in Israel right now. Thank you, John. Always great to hear from you. We'll take more of your calls in just a moment. The Free Speech Zone continues on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Karim with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In Santa Cruz, we have a moving roadway hazard on the northbound 1, just south of Highway 129. And on southbound Highway 17, on the Mount Hermon Drive off-ramp, watch out, there's a pedestrian in the road there. And weather, we've got a lot of cloud cover on the central coast and inland. Temperatures are currently in the low to mid-50s, and we're expecting them to fall in the low 40s tonight. Friday will be partly cloudy, with highs in the mid-60s and north winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. In Monterey, it's currently 52 degrees. Salinas is coming in at 55 degrees, and it's 56 degrees in Santa Cruz right now. Well, that's your 5:40 a.m. traffic and weather. Have a lovely evening, folks, and stay tuned for more Peter B. Collins.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Wide open Robinson for a three off the inbound. Two for two, Nathan Robinson. Four on three up the left side, Jamal Boykin in the open floor. Goes in inviting and scores.
This is the voice of the Golden Bears, Roxy Bernstein, inviting you to join us for another exciting season of Cal basketball right here on your home. For the Bears.
No broadcast of this Thursday's game. Next game for the Cal Bears is on Saturday the 28th, UCLA at the Haas Pavilion, 5:30 p.m. on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 5 minutes in front of the hour. Sometimes people tell me they don't have access to the Internet and they want to send me a note. My snail mail address is Post Office Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. Again, Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. Here's Angelina in beautiful Pebble Beach. Hi, Angelina.
Hi, Peter B. I just want to follow up with John in Carmel Valley and say that, yeah, there, it's a policy. It's called Hasbara. That means annihilation. It's an ethnic cleansing that the Israeli government has been trying to do to the Palestinian people for over 60 years now, and especially since 1967, and it really, Hashmoda, it's a policy. Mm-hmm. And I think that we should support the United States individuals and colleges, universities, intellectuals should support the divestment, boycott, and sanction campaign against Israeli products until the occupation ends. And let's hope soon. And I like to remember the words of the old song by Midnight Oil, the Australian group, referring mm-hmm. to the Aborigines. It goes something like, the time has come, a fact's a fact, the land belongs to them, give it back.
Yep. It's called Beds Are Burning.
That's right.
By Midnight Oil. I'm glad you like that. We play that occasionally here. And Peter Garrett, the leader of Midnight Oil, is now the environment minister in Australia.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
All right. Instead of Happy Trails, I'll play a little bit of that on the way out just for you, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot, Peter B.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Back to Robert. Robert in San Francisco. Hey, Robert, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to mention about Barack Obama's speech the other night, and he was talking about high school students are just serving their country if they don't complete their high school education. And Barack Obama, I think, doesn't understand the American black experience because he grew up in Hawaii, one of the most multi-ethnic places in the country and tolerant. And he went to private schools, and he was tutored by his white relations, you know. So he has a completely different experience as to what it is to be in some of these schools where you fear for your life every day, and you come from a one-family, one-parent household, and you know there's nothing for you. You're not making it. It's going to fail.
Mm-hmm. All right, Robert, I appreciate your comment. I'm out of time here, and I want to get a little oil on the air before we go. Thank you for sharing that. And thanks for all the calls into the program today. This one's for Angelina. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Barack Obama declared his priorities today when he released a budget blueprint for the years ahead. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports.
President Obama was elected on a message of change. Today, he made clear just how dramatic that change could be with a budget that would take America in a fundamentally new direction.
There are times where you can afford to redecorate your house, and there are times where you need to focus on rebuilding its foundation. Today, we have to focus on foundations.
In what would be a major redistribution of wealth, the president proposes taxes on high-income Americans totaling about $637 billion over the next 10 years. That includes allowing the Bush tax cuts to expire in 2011 for families making more than $250,000 a year.
Until now, the cost of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina has been off the books, paid for with special appropriations. Including those costs in the overall budget, along with spending to fix the economy, brings the first-year deficit to $1.75 trillion. General Motors, after losing $9.6 billion in the fourth quarter, went back to Washington today trying to persuade the government that it still has potential. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason takes a look.
Despite sliding sales, GM still controls more than a fifth of the U.S. market, 9% of Europe and 7% of Asia. And the company appeared on the verge of a turnaround until gas prices skyrocketed and the economy tanked. Consumer Reports, in its latest survey, ranks GM near the bottom of all the brands. Only Chrysler and Land Rover fared worse. But many of its newer models, like the Buick Enclave, the Cadillac CTS, and the Chevy Malibu, scored highly in driving tests.
GM's already taken more than $13 billion in government aid and wants $16 billion more. In a policy imposed under the first President Bush, the Pentagon has barred news photographers